I love the Cardigans music, but I get a knot in my stomach when I hear them. And one day we got to walk you through maybe the worst interview in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show, Jensen.
Oh, boy.
It was our producer at the time, Cordy, went up to Nina, the lead singer, afterwards.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
That was not the right clip. That was from the Cardigans interview, though. But here's what Cordy asked Nina.
Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty much a disaster. But we're playing Cardigans because it's International Women's Day. More of your requests, including one for the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, coming up in minutes. Hey, Muggs.
Bean.
You have been working hard lately, son.
Yeah, I've been busy. Been keeping busy, but that's a good thing, because if I did not keep busy, I would go insane and probably kill myself, which is probably a wish of yours, right?
This went off the rails, man.
I love you, Muggs. Oh. Why would you say something like that?
Oh, thank you, Ben. I appreciate
you
that.
You do great work, as always. You were on the red carpet for Captain Marvel. Now, you've done a bunch of these big Hollywood premieres over the years. How did this one rank? Because it seemed to me like the whole city was like really ramped up for this one.
Yeah, this was a huge one. Every time, you know, Marvel comes out with a new movie or it's a Disney film, they go all out on Hollywood Boulevard over there. I mean, they set up these huge canopies and tents. You can't even, like, the general public can't even see inside of who's walking the red carpet. That's how exclusive they keep it.
They, like, close blocks.
Yeah, they shut down blocks. I mean, it really is a big deal.
Well, with so many stars in the movie, and obviously it being the hot ticket, I know there were a lot of celebrities there to see the film as well. I can't wait to find out who you talked to.
What's up, you guys? Beer Mug here at the world premiere of Captain Marvel. I'm very excited. We got Goose the Cat right behind me and a 15-foot-tall Brie Larson. My, oh, my.
My, oh, my, indeed.
Yeah, it was
you don't have a lot of thoughts about Goose the Cat. Was Goose there in person?
I did not see Goose. The whole time I was staring at his big poster and also the 15-foot-tall Brie Larson. But I really wanted to meet Goose, and I didn't.
Sure. All right, first celebrity on the red carpet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think I see a Kevin Ryder from the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm going to wait until he comes up here. Maybe we'll get the interview. I don't know. Kevin from the Kevin and Bean Show. Oh, he's big timing me. Look at this. Totally big timing me. I work with you, Kevin.
He just walked on.
Just put his hand up over his face and kept walking.
All right. Let's see if he had a change of heart.
Oh, you. How's it going? It's going all right. Yeah, I can't believe you came over and stopped to talk with me.
I mean, you're the most important person on the red carpet.
That's what I intend to tell everybody.
And you do the best interviews. It's good to see that you dressed up.
Right? Look at this. I got my, trust me, I'm a superhero shirt on, right?
Have you gotten anyone else?
You're the first person
and
today.
Last. Congratulations.
All right, so he talked to you. That was
yeah,
nice.
He stopped. He decided to come over.
Improvement to here at work where he ignores you.
Yeah.
Who is Catherine Cavari? It says here she's a voice actress.
Yes, she is the voice of Miss Marvel, Marvel Rising. It's the animated series that they just put out.
Oh, I see. So she's in the Marvel family, sort of. Doesn't have anything to do with this movie.
Right, she's in the animated world.
All right, let's see if you have anything to say to Catherine. And by the way, after this, Swaggy P stops by.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it's going to get good.
Yes.
Being Miss Marvel, are you going to look for certain elements from this movie to kind of add to your voiceover job?
I don't understand that question at all.
What is that?
What does that mean?
Play it again.
Can we?
Yeah.
he doesn't know.
I'm trying to track it.
Being Miss Marvel, are you going to look for certain elements from this movie to kind of add to your voiceover job?
Okay.
Okay, I think I understand what you're trying to
help me.
I think if being involved with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and being at that premiere at that time, will she walk around and try to get tips and sort of, like, I don't know, inspiration to further her job? I don't know.
I thought you just meant by watching the movie. You're saying you wanted her to walk around and ask people questions.
It sounded like that's what I was asking.
Do you guys have any advice for me and my job?
Well, let's see if she was able to decipher. I guess I don't speak Muggs. Maybe Catherine does.
I think every Marvel movie I watch, I'm like, oh, that's a better grunt. Like, yeah, no, always.
You're completely out, right?
It sounded like I was completely out. And she got the question.
She did. She made her question her entire life.
She was being generous with that answer. But when you get to I think he has no question right now. He is just racking his brain. What can I say to this woman?
What being set in the 90s, 1995, I don't know how old you are.
My favorite year. 1995 was one of my favorite years.
But you were born in like 2001, right?
Yes.
So you're complimenting
the
lady.
Yeah, that was
then,
my compliment right there. Good. Because you never say a lady's older.
Yeah, exactly.
So this next question wouldn't even matter. But let's say you were born in the 90s or you can remember the 90s. What was your favorite saying from that decade?
The age-old question. What's your favorite saying?
What's your favorite saying from the 90s? Yeah. You're confusing the hell out of me and this poor woman who now has to come up with an answer on the spot. Well, let's see how she does.
My favorite saying? No duh.
No duh. Remember the one that, like, I like you, not...
Oh, yeah. I still say that.
That's awesome. Who's your favorite animated character besides Mrs. Marvel?
Ooh, Squirrel Girl.
Fair enough. Catherine Cavari, voice of Mrs. Marvel in Marvel Rising. Thank you so much.
She was very nice.
She was very nice.
Is it, in fact, awesome that she still does not?
she's keeping it alive.
All right. I promise you some swaggy pee.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man needs no introduction. Nick Young, a.k.a. Swaggy P. How you doing, Nick? First of all, who's this, you little man?
This is Little Swaggy right here.
Little Swaggy. What's going on, man?
What's up?
What's up? Hey, Little Swaggy, who's your favorite superhero of all time in the Marvel Universe?
I'm glad you told the four-year-old. Oh, you got to keep it in the Marvel Universe. No Batman on this red carpet.
Disney to get mad, you know?
How old is Little Swaggy?
I'd say he was about five.
About 5 years old.
Yeah.
Right, here we go.
Well, my second superhero was Black Panther, but my first superhero is like...
Who? His second favorite superhero is Black Panther.
Yes. Yeah.
Curious. By the way, did you ever talk to Nick Young?
I think I did.
Or is the entire interview just with his fetus?
I think I asked Nick a question.
Honestly, they're both on the same NBA team now, so...
All right, so Black Panther number two. Jensen, who do you think his favorite is?
I'm going to go with Batman.
You can't think. Captain America.
Captain America. That's what we're talking about, Little Swaggy.
All right. Now it's time for a rock and roll legend.
Oh.
Hall of Famer. Oh. Frankie Valli.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this man does not need an explanation, okay?
He definitely doesn't need an explanation.
How old is he?
He's got to be 75?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Okay. The hell is he doing at Captain Marvel?
Yeah,
I don't know. It was funny. When the publicist walks down and they're holding, like, you know, pieces of paper with people's names on it, it said Frankie Valli, and I looked at him like, of the four seasons? He's like, yes. I was like, yes.
To our audience, I think he'd probably best be maybe known for the song Grease.
Oh, I think he'd be best known as the inspiration for Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah, his story turned into – and he was a Sopranos actor, too. So let's see what – he's – again, he needs no explanation.
No explanations.
Says Mux.
This man not only was a huge musical icon throughout the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now Mr. Frankie Valli, how are you doing?
This is a question that honestly could be translated as how are you still alive?
Right? That was quite a buildup for how are you.
How are you doing?
Let's hear Mr. Valley's answer.
I'm doing terrific.
It's great to see you. I'm a huge fan of the Four Seasons. I was born in 1983, but my dad brought me up on a lot of great music. Your group, one of them. And I would like, if it's okay with you,
oh no,
oh god,
to do my do a rendition of Sherry, and you tell me if I have a little,
no.
If I have the singing chops. All right, here we go.
No, why would you do that? Why would you sing his song to him?
This is gonna kill him after all.
You're gonna kill Frankie Valli, Bugs.
I wanted to see what he thought of my singing abilities.
But why would you even think to do that?
I just like doing that to the artist.
But you have a guy in front of you who's got a million stories. Wouldn't the time be better served getting him to tell you something rather than forcing him against his will to listen to you sing?
Look, if radio doesn't work out and he ends up liking my singing abilities, I can get the lead role in Jersey Boys on Broadway.
This is The Voice.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's Mug's audition in front of Frankie Valli.
Sherry, baby.
That was pretty good.
Whoa.
You heard it here first. Frankie Valli of the Four Seasons says my rendition of Sherry was pretty good.
I did, yes.
He can't hear anything at this point.
He doesn't sound like it. He's just nodding. He doesn't know. And believe it or not, before we have to take a break and come back with part two, you had one more question that really, again, confused me very much with the legend Frankie Valli.
You were a big fan of Limp Bizkit then, right?
Of who?
Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, I guess I am.
There were no Four Seasons, let me tell you.
I know.
Well, enjoy the movie. Thank you so much for stopping talking. And I'm really in awe. I am.
I'm sorry. Can I hear that again?
Well, enjoy the movie. Thank you so much for stopping talking. And I'm really in awe. I am.
That was just a wonderful encounter all around.
Wow.
He's the best.
Part two, by the way, you mentioned your friend Milana Weintraub. She stopped by on the red carpet. And then Muggs gets into a very confusing situation with the composer of the Captain Marvel soundtrack. And then he interviews the 15-foot stand-up, the cutout, the cardboard cutout of Brie Larson.
This is gold.
It's gold, and there's more coming right back at you on K-Rock.
Yeah, on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Quick reminder, you can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line anytime at 323-520-AFRO today, this morning, to request a song by a female artist. We're playing female solo singers, female-fronted rock bands all morning long in honor of International Women's Day. Muggs, when you hear the interviews back, I know they're fun while you're doing them. When you hear them back, are you in awe of how talented you are?
It's like I'm listening to Walter Cronkite at his best, at his peak.
I agree. From the 310, Beer Mug's red carpet interviews are like one huge moment with. I mean, that's a different perspective.
No, but that's still good.
That's a different way to put it. All right, so we heard Frankie Valli in the last segment.
You know who didn't hear it is Frankie Valli.
No, he seemed very deaf. And he's the lucky one in this relationship.
Yeah.
Also, former NBA player Nick Young. We also heard K-Rock's Kevin being interviewed. Our friend of the show and Jensen, a personal friend of yours,
yes.
Melania Weintraub.
Melania Weintraub, yes. People know her from This Is Us. She was on that. She was on the show Love. And then she was always Lily from those commercials. AT&T, yeah.
Yeah, she is adorable and delightful. And Muggs, it sounded like she recognized you and she was happy to come up and spend a few moments with you.
Melania, so much has happened in your career over these last 3 years. Explain to the Kevin and Bean audience what it's like with all these huge moves. Like, you're the voice of Squirrel Girl in Marvel Rising.
Yeah. It feels like... you ever do drugs?
Yeah, quite a few.
It feels like when you, get the cocktail just right.
That's awesome.
But naturally.
Have you met Brie Larson?
No, not yet, but I'm going to tonight. If it's the last thing I do.
When you go up to her, you should be like, hey, Brie, are you nervous meeting me?
Yeah, I'm gonna ask her if she's intimidated.
He's out.
Out. Done.
What gives that away?
The
This movie takes place in the 90s, 1995.
Oh, what's the question gonna be?
I think it's gonna be what's your favorite saying?
Let's see.
He's asking you to open up to the camera a little bit.
Because the camera wants to see me and not Milana, right?
So she's directing you on how to stand for better coverage.
Mm-hmm. I think I was blocking Milana completely in this video.
Amazing.
Well, that's unforgivable.
The movie takes place in 1995, so I've been asking everybody that's stopped by some 90s questions.
Oh, wow.
If you can give one piece of fashion back, you can let the 90s have it. What would it be?
Not too bad.
Changed it up?
I mean, the wording is questionable.
Yes, definitely.
Really quite a construction site.
See what Milana says.
You know those tracksuits that made noise, that would swish as you walk? They were made of plastic.
Yes.
Like they were highly flammable plastic. Swish, 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 swish. Like nobody needs to hear you walk.
Those are sweet, though. I love the material, though. You're going to hate me. I love those.
What? Why did you like them?
For the noise.
Oh, okay.
Why would...
Well, Milana, have fun tonight.
You're doing a great job. I don't care what Kevin or Bean say about you. I just want you to know that you came here and you did your job today. You asked me two questions.
Oh, you are in love now.
I loved her before, but now it's just...
You are set for the rest of... You can dine out on that compliment for the rest of your career, Bugs.
Absolutely.
Her name is Pinar Toprak, and she is the composer of the score for Captain Marvel. Fantastic first question here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lady, the woman who scored Captain Marvel, Pinar Toprak. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. First of all, music is a big part of my life, working at... musical radio station, and how important is it to get the score right when it comes to such a humongous action movie like this one?
Great question.
More important than getting it wrong, I'll tell you.
How important is it to get the score right? You know what? I don't really think about that much. I don't think it really matters if the music matches up with the film at all.
So good.
Kind of a weird question.
Hey, how important is it for you to do your job good?
Exactly.
It's very important.
Oh, thank you for that. Oh.
What is your favorite movie score, besides all of yours, of all time?
Oh, my scores. I'll never say they're my favorite.
The Batman, the 1989 Batman theme, even though I'm mentioning a DC comic, my favorite of all time.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Why weren't there Marvel snipers there to take you out for even saying the B word on the red carpet?
I literally looked to my top left and right before I said that.
Well, unfortunately, Beer Mug did not get to talk to Captain Marvel herself, but he did decide, since there was a giant 15-foot cutout of the actress on the red carpet, that he would just spend his time. Jensen, are you ready for this?
Please.
Interviewing cardboard. Okay.
Which technically
ladies
was...
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately...
Technically what?
Well, it's technically also what Frankie Valli was.
Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, Bree did not pass us on the carpet, but I have the next best thing. It's a 15-foot version of Bree. Bree, you look beautiful as Captain Marvel. I'm going to do a little interview right now with her. I'm actually nervous, as you can tell. Bree.
Drunk or tired, Bugs?
No, I think the cardboard cutout of Bree Larson was making me nervous.
So you're just intimidated by her beauty. Okay.
How do they make a costume this size for you to fit in? I don't know if I can mic her that well.
Okay, she's not going to talk, man. She's made of cardboard. What happened to the thing where you answer your own questions? Where you go, oh, that's a good question, Beer Mug. I don't know how they did it. What happened to that?
I think somehow I was just hoping for the cardboard cutout to speak to me.
I see.
She's really tall. I'm just going to take her at her word, get lost staring at her under chin, which she doesn't have any. I'm totally blowing this interview.
Oh, are you?
This one,
I'm here with Goose the Cat. Goose.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a cardboard of the cat, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right, final interview with Mugs on the red carpet of Captain Marvel.
I'm here with Goose the Cat. Goose, what was it like working alongside the talented and lovely Brie Larson? It was perfect.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Right?
Beer Mug 2020.
Thank you.
Where do you put the Pulitzer when you get it?
Hey, Friday morning, it was a huge story over the weekend. Roger Stone, who is just the latest in the best people around President Donald Trump, was arrested by the FBI. And there is some controversy as to whether it was necessary for the FBI to go in there pre-dawn with a bunch of guys with machine guns and bust down his door. A lot of people are like, a little bit of an overkill for a guy who's 66, doesn't have a valid passport, doesn't have a gun. But I guess they wanted to be on the safe side and whatnot. But that's not why I bring all this up. I bring all this up to say Roger Stone, who is a fascinating character and just a nut job, by the way.
Is he?
Just a nut job.
Totally.
Couldn't do more interviews after he was arrested, which I think you know every attorney advises you to get out there and just talk as much as possible once the FBI takes you down.
Yeah.
Just couldn't stay off TV all weekend long.
But something
resurfaced that I found fascinating that we have never talked about before, and that is he has... Well, Jensen, you're the tattoo guy here.
Yes.
How big is this tattoo?
I'd probably say...
It's huge, right?
Yeah, probably about... 6 inches.
6 inches tall.
Yeah, 6 inches tall, and then across probably about four inches.
Of President Richard Nixon's face.
And it is a clean, very well done portrait.
It looks really nice.
Very realistic.
But it's
yeah.
a really nice tattoo. It's the only tattoo that you can see on him, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah. But he has to take off his shirt. Yeah, you don't see anything else, but it is... It's
just
little,
Richard Nixon.
It's very startling on him, yeah.
And it obviously, the first thing we all thought is, well, that's going to be target practice in jail. But my point is that very rarely do you see historical figures tattooed on people's bodies.
Yeah.
I know that he work in the Nixon administration
did,
at some
yes,
point? He
yeah.
did. That's what I thought.
There
yeah.
is a very interesting documentary on Roger Stone on Netflix if you're ever interested in learning about
it. Oh, I think
it.
I would like that.
A real life Mr. Burns.
What do you think about the Nixon Foundation distancing their self
did
from
they
him?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're like, he was a junior scheduler on the 1972 re-election yeah. campaign. Yeah. He was in college. Like, it was pretty much an internship. Trust us.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, when Nixon is trying to be like...
Well, I'm not sure it's Nixon.
Well, I think it's, his people.
Yeah,
his people.
It's probably
so
not.
Roger Stone is so into President Nixon that even when he appeared in front of the first set of cameras and microphones after his arrest, he put his hands up in the air, you know, spread out, just like the famous Nixon getting on the helicopter to leave Washington after his, you know, after his resignation. I mean, this guy loves Nixon.
How much can you still love? So when was that? 72?
Yeah.
How much can you still love that guy? Yeah. Like, you already have the 4x6 tattoo on your back.
Right.
You're going to recreate famous scenes from
him? It's insane.
That's so it's weird.
But this is a man that, when he's dressed up, looks totally like the Riddler and the Joker put together.
Yeah.
Like, he's nuts.
There are many pictures on the internet, if you Google it, where he looks like the Babadook.
The big hat. Yes.
And he's got a little bit of your Monopoly Man, too, by the way.
Pictures.
All right, so here's the topic that we want to get into. Historical figure tattoos. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. Again, Jensen, you're the tattoo guy.
Sure.
Most tattoos are either personal or they are pop culture figures.
Yes.
There are a million people out there who have an Eminem tattoo or a Weird Al tattoo or
I think sports would fall into entertainment
sports,
as well.
Sports, yeah. Absolutely.
The Simpsons, you see a lot. There's a lot of Instagram accounts,
Absolutely, yeah. But very rarely do you see somebody like a president. And I think any president would count for what we're looking for historical figures, right? Like, if you're rocking a Chester Arthur tattoo, I want to talk to you.
I don't
really.
Also, the difference between Bean and I is I don't.
if you've got a back tattoo of Rutherford B. Hayes, call right now, 1-800-520-1065.
You're setting the bar pretty high there, Bean.
I know I am.
So we're saying historical figures. Now, how do we determine that? Jensen, you have two, right?
I have two portraits, and I think they're on the line.
Okay.
The one that I think we can get away with is I have Muhammad Ali, who is an athlete, but I got him because he's an activist.
So a political activist. Oh, that would make sense. That would make him a historical figure more than just – that's not just an entertainer.
Because criteria for me right now might be, could you see this person in a history book? And Muhammad Ali is definitely in a history book.
Okay.
So
who's
just
the other one?
Hold on, before we move on.
Don Rickles, not a historical figure.
Oh, I respect it, though.
Yeah. All right, so Don Rickles would be like having a Bill Burr tattoo or something like that, right?
Sure.
Or a Joe Rogan tattoo or something like that.
Let's just not push it too far, but yeah.
But going back to Muhammad Ali, so he would count as a historical person, even though he's a sports figure, in a way that Babe Ruth wouldn't.
Correct.
Right.
Because even though he's a historical figure because he's an old-timey guy from a long time ago, but he was just a baseball player.
I think that if your Wikipedia says your main job, like athlete, but the second one is activist, I think we should put that into the...
So activist is the word that sort of makes it historical and not just an athlete.
Yeah, for at least an athlete or a comedian or, you know, something like that that plays both lines. Like Don Rickles just called you like a human hockey puck.
You're going to run into, then is Colin Kaepernick a historical figure?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a very good question, but I think the answer is yes.
Do they have? Huh. No, so they don't have to be.
See, I think you're old and dead.
Yeah, I think that if you have a tattoo of the three Olympians standing giving the Black Power sign, that's a historic.
I would say so too.
Right. Okay. So
we're going to run into all kinds of trouble ruling here.
Yeah. I know we are.
Just call if you have a Bart Simpson tattoo.
Now let me ask you guys this.
I also have Milhouse, as we all know. So I run the gamut. I'm a complex man.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1065. But let me ask you this. How about if you have Elon Musk tattoos?
I'm going to say no for now.
Historical figure, though.
Yeah, but
he's not an entertainer.
But I think there's some kind of social justice that needs to be in there.
Maybe. I'd say Steve Jobs works. I'd say if you had a Steve Jobs tattoo, number one, you're amazing because you have like the turtleneck and everything. But beyond that,
I don't feel like Steve Jobs would work.
I also don't think it has to be an activist to be a historical tattoo. What if you had Sir Edmund Hillary?
Sure.
Mount Everest. What if you had him as
all
a tattoo?
The stuff he did.
Would that count? I mean,
it would be difficult for him though because he's like knocking off all the women that come to him because of his tattoo. You know
right?
What I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's like
it's a constant battle.
Constant battle. Yeah.
How about an inventor? How about like how about if you had Galileo, for instance?
That counts.
I mean,
right?
If you're talking about dead people, the line gets a little easier than it does Colin Kaepernick. You know, then it's a little complex. But I don't know.
I'll give you one more, and then we'll go to the phone.
Can I tell you what mine is?
Yeah, sure.
I have one. Yeah, I have a Madame Curie tramp stamp.
Is that right?
Yeah. Than that.
And I respect it.
Thank you.
How about Stephen Hawking?
That's definitely...
definitely, right?
They changed history.
Yeah, we
think
so.
He's a historical figure.
Yeah,
all right.
I would even say... I know, now I'm getting into a real line. But even like an Alfred Hitchcock, I think, would fit. Because I think...
Alfred Hitchcock, yes. Marilyn Monroe, no, as a historical figure?
Well, yeah, that's because you're a basic B if you... You know, you're a basic bitch if you have a Marilyn Monroe concert.
No, but I'm saying they're both people who made movies.
Yeah.
I'd say no on both.
Hitchcock changed the way movies were made.
But that's...
Marilyn Monroe was a... an actress who was beautiful. I would just think they're two different things.
All right. Let's take a call before the break. 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for you if you have a historical figure as a tattoo. And I don't think there'd be a ton of them, but I think we're going to get some. And we'll start with Edgar in Fullerton, line one.
Give me 1 second. Edgar, are you there? I think I'm having problems with the phones here, Bean.
Well, I will tell you, Mike Tyson does have Mouse Tongue on his arm. That's a historical figure. That would work.
Yeah, we can't go to Edgar right now. We need to take a break, and then we'll fix it, and then we'll come back.
Okay, we'll do that. 1-800-520-1067. Edgar, hang on. We'll get to everybody's calls right after this on K-Rock.
Instead of Soundgarden, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Edgar in Fullerton. Good morning, Edgar.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're talking about Roger Stone in the news this weekend has a giant tattoo of President Richard Nixon. We were wondering if anybody else out there has historical tattoos, and you say you do.
You know what? It's actually my cousin. He came home one day on my grandpa's 75th birthday when the whole family was there, and he came through with a Abraham Lincoln tattoo with Ray-Bans.
Where was it on his body?
Oh, it was right in his chest.
Why?
He was so proud when he came in.
Yes, why is the lady's question. Do you know?
You know what? He has a buddy that does tattoos, and the buddy's actually really good now, but at the time, he just needed someone to practice on.
Was there alcohol involved?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I hope so.
That's what I thought, right?
The best tattoos are the janky ones when somebody's just learning how to do tattoo art. Yeah.
And you know what? He's gained some weight since then, so I feel that that tattoo's warped now.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
It was always warped.
That's fantastic. Edgar, thank you for the call, my friend. 1-800-520-1067. We're taking calls on your historical tattoos. By the way, Jesus counts, right?
Yes.
Sure.
Virgin Mary, all of those completely legit.
Yeah.
All right, take your calls after Soundgarden on K-Rock. I have thought about...
Please do.
...getting a historical figure tattoo.
Please do.
And I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And I know you would expect me to say Weird Al, and of course I'd be honored to have a Weird Al tattoo, but that wouldn't
count. The Wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald.
That wouldn't count in this category. The Wreck is certainly something I've considered.
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong would be a great tattoo for me, but I think I would get...
Oh, Clyde Tombaugh.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's a pretty good guess.
And Clyde Tombaugh, by the way, the great American who discovered Pluto, that would certainly count as a historical tattoo.
For sure.
Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, wow. Bean.
Queen Elizabeth is the tattoo that I think I would be most likely to get. Heaven.
I now have one mission and one mission only. Atlanta, find a tattoo artist and Queen Elizabeth,
my
right?
My God.
I will get something weird, too, if he gets Queen Elizabeth.
Oh, my God.
I demand this
Queen
happen.
Elizabeth has been my queen my entire
she's
life.
She's been your queen.
I adore her.
I couldn't hate her more.
I adore her, and I would totally do it.
Would you get young queen or old queen?
Oh, young queen.
Okay.
Hot queen. Cleavage queen.
Slow down.
Oh, you're going way back.
What do you think the queen would say about this?
We're looking at you, Kevin.
This tattoo is good because I'm better than everyone in the world. And I'm Bean's queen.
We're talking about, let's table our potential Atlanta tattoos for another time as we get closer to the event. Mm-hmm. But let's go back to our calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about Roger Stone in the news this week, arrested by the FBI, and he has a giant Richard Nixon tattoo on his back. Now, we already had one listener had an Abe Lincoln tattoo, at least his cousin did. What's Trevor and Cypress got?
Trevor in Cyprus. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Hey, guys. So my coworker has a stick figure Abe Lincoln tattoo on his thigh right below his ass.
Abe Lincoln, popular.
Yeah, another Abe Lincoln. What's the deal?
And why a stick figure?
I have no idea. I think he wanted an Abe Lincoln tattoo, like a detailed one, and then... And the guy who's doing his tattoo just drew a stick figure. He's like, what the is this, you know? And then and then he just drew a little top hat on top of the stick figure, and that's the tattoo.
That's all they could do in jail, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. Wow, I didn't expect that Abe Lincoln was going to be running the table on, on tattoos here today, but thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Josie, L.A. Line 3, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, Josh, we really wanted to talk to you. I know you hung up. If you have the chance to call back, we want to talk about your tattoo. Please do.
Hey, Josie.
Hey, good morning.
Tell us about your ex-boyfriend.
He has a Benjamin Franklin tattoo on his forearm.
Wow. Oh, now that's interesting. How come?
Well, when people would ask him, he would say it's the money man because he was trying to hustle and always trying to have some little side things going on.
Mm-hmm.
So he would say he was on a $100 bill and he was always trying to make money.
And that's when you decided he was going to be your ex?
As we all know, as we all know, that is what Abe Lincoln is most known for, making money.
Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, sorry, Benjamin Franklin. Also Abe Lincoln.
All right, no more questions.
I mean, no, I think we've hit. I think we've really hit the limit on Ben Franklin tattoo questions.
Sad news for listeners who are a fan of that song by No Doubt. Of course, that's a cover of the 80s hit from the band Talk Talk. We lost the lead singer of that band a couple of days ago. Mark Hollis was his name. He's only 64 years old.
I saw how young he was.
A very short illness, and he is gone. But he was one of those people who was in the music community. He was bigger than his chart success. There were a lot of people like Radiohead who looked at some of his later work and said, man, you know, he kind of started a post-rock thing after the new wave died up, that it was very influential for a lot of people. So there are many mourning his loss. Again, Mark Hollis from Talk Talk, dead at 64.
I feel like you're stalling because you don't want to get to Would You Like to Take That Back?
I'm curious to hear what bad decisions Allie and Jensen made.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you, could you take that back?
So this is a do-over. From time to time, we may say something on the air in the spur of the moment in an attempt to be witty. It doesn't always connect. And we created this special file to give us a chance to kind of clear our conscience a little bit and say, you know what? If I had the chance to go back and do it again, I wouldn't.
The first one is Bean.
Okay, well, it's fair, I guess, that I would have one Allie represented in the file.
Allie is finishing What's Happening and goes into birthdays.
Wilmer Valderrama, happy birthday. Phil Collins, Gene Hackman, and WWE's Becky Lynch.
My favorite, one of my faves.
Is she the one with the good hair? I can't keep them all straight. I don't...
File.
I did...
File.
But
would you like to take that back?
It's a Becky with the good hair reference.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was.
Mm. Would you like to take that
back? That doesn't spark joy with you guys?
Mm. Not me.
Nope. I'm also throwing a slightly dated penalty flag.
Okay. All right. I'm now reading the room differently than I did at the time.
All right.
And I will, in fact, take it back.
Excellent. The next person is Bean.
Oh,
Allie's doing birthdays again. By the way, this is a minefield. You need to stop doing birthdays because Bean steps in and ruins every single one of them.
Here's some birthdays for you guys. We've got Marcus Mumford, Kerry Washington, Portia de Rossi, and Casey from Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
They were playing in Vegas one time, and I was drunk, and we were like, hey, let's go see Casey and the Sunshine Band. He was super fat, but he had a mesh shirt on. So you could literally see through the mesh. His belly was sticking through the shirt.
Like through the little pieces of mesh.
Do you think they play in Vegas because of the buffets?
Probably, yes.
Boy.
Maybe that's the way he likes
it. That's what's happening.
Would you like to take that back?
Too late, Allie. You tried. You tried?
Stick with it, Bean. That's good. Stick with it.
You tried, but you couldn't stop it.
Stay strong, Bean.
Maybe that's the way he likes it.
I mean, you see what I was doing there.
Stay strong, bud. Stay strong, bud.
I think I'm going to throw that one back in the water, too. And here's why. I feel like it was too easy. I feel like it was low-hanging fruit. I'm not proud of it. I'm going to take it back.
Okay.
The third one is Bean.
Come on.
Jensen and Allie.
Oh, wow.
All three of you in one.
Trifecta.
The only author we ever have on is Brad Meltzer, so he'll be back coming up just after 8 talking about his new book, I Am Billie Jean King. who I think is who the Michael Jackson song was about, right?
Do I yes.
Right? I don't think so. I don't think we'll that's it at all.
He was the king of pop, Billie Jean King.
I don't think
right.
that's... No.
We'll learn who this fictional Billie Jean person is when we talk to Brad coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with a very special What's Happening.
Although it could be Billie Jean King because she was not his lover. This we know, right?
Okay, all right.
Are we going to continue this?
I'm with you.
Oh, there's no need.
How long can the file be? All right, so let's start with Bean, Michael Jackson's song.
Would you like to take that back? Look, it wasn't hilarious, but I think it was a reasonable attempt at a joke by talking about a different Billie Jean. I don't think I feel bad about that. I think I'm going to say yes to that one.
All right, Jensen, king of pop.
I feel as if I'm shrapnel. I was just yes anding, being a good improver, and I'm being taken down with the ship, but I'll stick with him because my leader says so.
All right, Allie?
Mine was a teachable moment because, of course, Billie Jean King,
right?
A notable lesbian.
Would you like to take that back?
So obviously not his lover.
Would you like to take that back?
I'll go ahead and take it back.
All right. Bean is next.
Oh, come. This is stacked.
Here's the thing, Bean. Here's the thing. When there's a Would You Like to Take That Back file, mm-hmm. we mention it to Chip, and she just gets all of the files, and then she sends them to me.
Okay.
I only have these to work with, and they're all you.
But I feel
so
like...
So I'm not the one making all of these stupid puns.
There's some omitting going on, is what I'm saying.
Is there? All right. Let's go to Allie doing birthdays. What a surprise.
Some birthdays for you guys. Of course, Jennifer Aniston's birthday is today. Happy birthday to you. Brandy, Mike Shinoda.
She's a fine girl.
All she's right. what?
She's a fine girl.
Oh, okay.
Brandy.
Yeah.
She's a
file. Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, way back.
I mean,
way, way back. That's put that one in the way, way back machine.
All right, this one is Allie.
Oh.
Bean is doing animal stories.
Oh.
Yep.
And then something went horribly wrong as the seam attacked and killed Melati.
What?
Which is the opposite of what they were trying to do.
Melati, Dottie, a seam don't like to potty.
I don't know what that means, but it seems apropos of the story.
You're going to say you had support for this online, because I did see a couple
so
tweets.
So much support for this online.
Come on,
I don't
first
know.
Of all,
I don't
if
know.
You don't know, a lot of people are like, yeah, that's a Snoop song. No, it's
Slick Rick.
Slick Rick yeah. And it's Dougie Fresh with Slick Rick.
Covered
it is
by,
the, yeah. you know, it's the B-side of one of the greatest songs
Would
ever,
like
the show. Covered by Snoop, covered by Korn.
Would you like to take that back?
The thing's name was Melati. So
would you like to take that back?
Killed by
we have others.
Thing, and I said Melati Dottie. I'm not taking that back.
All right. Next up is Bean.
Oh.
Jensen is doing his fast food report.
Both varieties available for a limited time. Don't sleep for a suggested price of $2.99. So I ask you, will you slither to the snake, or in other words, eat it or beat it?
I think I'm going no on that.
Beat it.
I think I'm going beat it.
Yeah, that's not even worth a toilet time.
Beat it.
I am not so interested in that one, Jensen.
No,
I'm going to beat it.
Dear God, file. Our file that.
Would you like to take that back?
I still like it. I think I'm going to hold on to that one.
Wow.
Wow. All
right.
Allie is next.
Oh. This is quite a batch. Only one, however, will get a chance to see Captain Marvel at the AMC Burbank on March the 5th, which, by the way, I think is next Tuesday. Who's our winner, please?
To the movie, Alice.
No, boy.
No.
What are you doing?
Right.
Show her out.
Would you like to take that back?
Allie targeting that coveted 18 to 35 demo.
That was awful, but I'll say this. I was trying to get just one more in the file. So
oh,
we could
you
do
were
this
trying
segment.
To help.
Yeah,
oh,
it's so nice
team.
Of
yeah.
you.
For the team.
But with a TV show yeah. from 1955, though, Allie?
Sure. I'm going to take it back, though. No. That was awful.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah.
We all agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Comedian Brad Williams is on the phone. Hey, Brad, you're kidding.
Good morning.
I texted Brad last night. I said, are you going to be available around 7 o'clock as we're doing Would You Like to Take That Back? And he texted me back. I know the joke, and absolutely. So it sounds like he's going to hold firm. But here, let's play it. We were talking about Rick Astley.
Okay. And now I'm even more delighted to say in the last few years he's come back and made records again and toured and done all that stuff, and he's turned out to be a beloved performer.
Yeah, he showed up on like a huge parade recently, too, doing this song, and they use him in a lot of bits. He's great.
And being on stage with Foo Fighters a couple of times.
That's right.
Yeah, that's insane. Mean,
Rick Astley is forever, apparently.
He has never let us down.
Oh. That is actually true.
Would you like to take that back?
Here's what I noticed with this file, just before you take it back, Brad. Bean always loves them.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. He's always cheering for bad puns. All right, Brad Williams.
Would you like to take that back?
Well, listen, we're no strangers to this game. You guys know the rules. So do I. And, and Rick will never let you down. I'll never let you down. And I will never take that back. Yeah. That is a great joke.
It's a great joke.
It's a great joke.
Wow,
doubling
Brad.
Down.
Brad, do you have any shows this weekend you can promote for that? I have something I'd like to talk about.
Okay.
I have a pregnant wife.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that, and we've talked about it before, the one thing that has been the biggest symptom of her being pregnant is that she just eats the same thing over and over again. We've eaten CPK, I swear to you, 4 to 5 nights a week. Like, we go to the same...
I love it so much. It's
insane. We go to the same places over and over again. We've actually gotten so embarrassed at the CPK that we've started going to other neighborhood CPKs.
Just to split it up.
Yeah, because they'll think we're sick.
Yeah.
And we are sick.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Now, is it a craving for one specific thing at CPK, or does she get different things?
She basically has been getting the same salad over and over again, but if I maybe shamed her into getting another thing, she'd be fine. She loves the whole menu.
Okay.
So she would get a couple things. But we've hit a point now where CPK sent us free pizzas yesterday for Mother's Day. I mean, we're in a weird spot.
Right.
But the weirdest of the spots that we're in is at a snow cone place near our house.
Oh.
Those still exist?
Yes. There's actually a few of them. We've at least stumbled into a few.
That's weird.
And there's one called Brian's, and it's in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And we had eaten nearby, and I said, oh, I like snow cones. I'm a child. And so we walked in there, and it was so good. We were like, this is the best snow cone we've had. And so the next day, we craved it. So we went back.
Okay.
And
now, you're pregnant too, or no?
I definitely am acting like it.
Okay.
I have the male pregnancy symptoms. And so I was like, I'll go again. So we go again. The next day, Danielle says to me, let's go to Brian's. I go, okay. So we go in. And now, what I can only assume is Brian, because there's two workers inside, and this man has been constant each time we've went.
Right.
I can only assume he's Brian. We walked in, and Brian, bright-eyed, looked at us and said, 3 times in 3 days, huh?
Oh.
He was shaming you guys.
Oh, Brian.
I have never
He was
felt
shaming you.
So embarrassed.
For going to his place.
It was so over the top that I honestly questioned my own beliefs and practices. Uh-huh. I was like, am I a pig? Danielle, who's in all pride and honor of being a pig right now, being pregnant, was just like, yes, sir. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is a total disaster. And I was wondering, don't you think that's the wrong... I mean, number one, I don't think he should ever say anything because it just brings a light to me being, you know, gluttonous. But he shouldn't say it that way, no?
No, I think not at all. Why would he do that? Because then now you're going to second guess, like, do we go back now?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to now.
Yeah, well, I mean, update, we've went 4 more days in a row. But he hasn't said 7 days in a row, which is nice.
Right.
But he does sort of be like, because we went out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when we came back on the Monday, because obviously we can't miss a day.
Right to the snow cone.
Yeah. He said to us, straight-faced, was concerned. Thought something happened to you guys.
What?
Like, missed a few days.
Because we missed 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Why is he attacking you?
I don't know.
This is so weird.
I feel like he has like
back, huh?
a vendetta against making money.
No, I think what it is he now has regulars at his shaved ice place. That's exciting. So he's like, oh, coming in again. I don't think he's shaming.
It doesn't sound, the way he's telling that story, it doesn't sound like he's happy that they're there.
He's definitely not like, hi, buddy!
Right.
Like,
oh,
two
really?
Thumbs up.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's happy to see us, but I don't know if he knows the thin line between, you know, stoked repeat customer and stalker of his snow cone spot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
At any point, does he just turn to the other employee and go, they're here?
It feels that way.
Okay.
I think at one point he's going to look at us and be like, guys, I've got you these pamphlets on diabetes. And just hand it. Like, that's where it feels like it's leading.
He's trying to wave you off.
Yeah.
That's super weird for a store owner.
Yeah. I don't even think, like, smoke shops do that. Like, he should 100% have a little more humility towards you know,
hey, it's great to see you
yeah,
again.
Yeah, we're addicted to your product. Also, like, what if he's like, this is like how meth starts for people.
I'm sorry?
Meth?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if you were to get addicted to something, the dealer at first would be like, hey, man, calm down. Maybe not every day. But it's a snow cone.
You are equating shaved ice to meth.
Well, because I get the blue flavor.
Okay. All right. I didn't know.
I get watermelon and blueberry almost every time. I've switched it up a bit. And when I switch up my order, he goes, switching it up.
I think he's just perceptive and he's just into you guys being there, but he doesn't want to overdo it and be like, yeah, they're back again. So he's kind of making
the opposite way?
He's nagging.
He's
you.
Nagging us.
Yeah,
what is it? It's the game? Why could, we're all dating already.
Oh.
I'm in a relationship with a snow cone shop and he's shaming me and I feel like I'm in an abusive relationship. So Brian, if you're listening, we're big fans of your snow cone ice.
But not coming back.
And I'm going back today.
Listening to that, just thinking about how great AFI was on Acoustic Christmas this year.
Yeah, they are.
They're
great.
So good.
Always.
I want them to put out more records.
Okay.
Okay.
It's not enough. Make a note. Right. Hey, Friday morning, you guys. Ready for a little animal stories?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
Wonderful animals in the news this week. I'm proud to bring to you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, you've been to London.
I have.
You ever see any foxes running around town?
A lot of foxes.
Animals.
Oh, no. I apologize.
They are very common in certain parts of the city. In Kensington, I know they got a bunch of them. This one actually happened in the Mitcham district. Kim Fryer is her name, said that her daughter was the first one to spot it. She came downstairs around 7 a.m. on December 15th and saw a fox curled up, sound asleep, on top of the family microwave. That would be a surprise, I think, for anyone, right? I have five cats and a dog, so obviously I have a cat flap. We call a doggy door. He must have crawled under the gate and through the cat flap. So they called the animal hospital. They called the Putney Animal Hospital, who sent somebody right around, and they captured the... Why are you laughing? Because you're thinking of something dirty for a cat flap. It's just a way for little animals to get in and out of the house.
I'm just saying, Allie, rename it.
Come on. So they gathered up the fox, took him to the hospital, checked him out. He was quite healthy, had a beautiful fluffy coat, gave him a thorough check. He was released back into the area, and he was fine. Good luck, Mr. Fox, they said.
Aww.
I would think that most Americans would freak out if there was a fox curled up sleeping on their microwave, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're so cute, though. And the more you talked about that story, I stayed in Kensington with your wife, and we saw a ton of foxes in that area.
No
so,
kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I'm done. Bye.
So you had forgotten that. That was
totally
the impact that it made on you.
But it was a long time ago.
It was last summer.
Right.
I am going to read this from the Washington Post. This is a bizarre and fascinating story to me. A relaxed-looking juvenile Hawaiian monk seal lounges near a sandy white beach on some green foliage. His eyes are half closed and it has a serene expression on his face. But the seal's calm demeanor is surprising. Why? Well, there's a long black and white eel dangling from its right nostril. It's just
what?
So shocking, says Claire Simeone, a veterinarian and monk seal expert based in Hawaii. It's an animal that has another animal stuck up its nose. Apparently, this photo went viral. It all began around 2 years ago when the lead scientist of the monk seal program woke up to a strange email. It was the first time they had seen it. The subject line was eel in nose. It was like, hey, we just found a seal with an eel in its nose. Do we have a protocol? They did not at that time. There was about 2 inches of the eel actually sticking out of the nose. Okay. So it was like
how many
magician's...
protocols do they have? What they have?
That's page 74. That one.
Wouldn't that be amazing if they did have a protocol?
Yes.
Scientists say it was very much akin to a magician's trick where they're pulling out handkerchiefs and they just keep coming in. It took a minute of tugging and a 2.5-foot dead eel emerged from the seal's nostril. This is the fourth reported case, by the way, in this area of Hawaii. They have no idea why it suddenly happened. You see some strange things if you watch nature long enough. This could end up being one of those little oddities and mysteries of our careers that 40 years from now we'll be retired and still questioning how it happened. But I am gently pleading with the monk seals to stop inhaling eels. What do you suppose that's about?
I don't like it.
That's just weird. I don't know.
A man overheard shouting death threats at a spider sparked a massive police response in Australia. Neighbors of the man in Perth became concerned when they were walking by and heard him shouting, "Why don't you die?" So caller to 911 also reported, which is not, they don't call it 911 in Australia, whatever their number code is. The caller also reported hearing a child screaming. So as you can imagine, multiple police units were called and responded with their lights and sirens flashing. It was revealed once they got inside, the man was just trying to kill a spider because he had a serious fear of the insect. His wife, who was at the property at the time, confirmed that the child had also been screaming because of all of the drama and confusion, as a matter of fact. So everybody's fine. He apologized for the inconvenience to the police. No injuries except to the spider. Look, do I have to say it again? Don't kill spiders, people. Spiders are good guys.
Bean had a dead spider as a pet for like 6 years.
He was a tarantula.
Never moved.
I loved him. My point is that spiders are good. Don't kill them.
Right.
A curious cat named Baloo was mistakenly shipped more than 700 miles away from his home in Nova Scotia, Canada, after crawling into a parcel destined for Alberta. The tabby's owner, Jacqueline Lake, said that the mischievous one-year-old cat had secretly sneaked into the bottom of a package containing tire rims. The day after the parcel had been sent, she began searching for the missing family pet.
Yeah.
Did not know that they had taped up the box and mailed the cat away.
Right, sure.
Huh. We knocked door to door. We searched the woods. We searched under the decks, right, in the garages, under the steps. He was gone. They figured it out. Oh, my God. He must have been in the box. So they contacted the delivery company. And 17 hours into the cross-country road trip, the driver went back and opened up that box. And the cat was in there and he was fine.
What?
700 miles away from home, this cat was in a box.
I think she mailed the cat. She didn't want it.
She didn't mail the
cat. I'm done with the cat.
Yeah.
I've had it. I'm putting you in a box. Goodbye. Yeah.
I wonder if they had a cat flap.
That's just gross, Bean. Why would you?
Here's the strangest story to close out this edition of Animal Stories. Perhaps you saw this over the holidays. Dave Barry and his family are awful, awful people. They have illegally killed maybe 100 deer in the forests of southern Missouri over the last decade. Nobody knows how many, but they kill them for the trophy. They kill them for the heads and antlers. They mount them. All right.
Okay.
And then they just leave the body to rot. So they're illegally poaching, essentially, is what they're doing. So when they were rounded up and went to court, the judge, in addition to sentencing them to $200,000 in fines and jail time, decreed that the leader of the family, Dave Barry, would be required to watch the movie Bambi every month that he was in jail. Beginning before or on December 23rd, 2018. So he's already watched it at least one time. He has to watch it again sometime in January. Then he has to put on the Bambi again in February and March. Do you think that movie is going to teach a lesson to a guy who has killed 100 deer?
No.
Do you think that he will say no?
Nah.
Spoiler alert, by the way. Bambi's mom is urging Bambi to run into the woods because there are gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens next, I think, is what the judge is hoping
this
guy will take away from it and go, maybe I won't kill quite so many deer when I get out. It's always weird when we see these cases where a judge exercises some creative sentencing. I see what he's trying to do here.
Right.
I just wonder if this guy maybe is beyond the magic of Disney. What do you guys think?
I think so, too.
I would absolutely agree.
Not going to happen. But I hope hope he gets out of jail with his cat flap intact. That would be my concern if I were Mr. Barry. Right. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure.
Is that the same song you were trying to give the phone number out over?
Doesn't matter.
I'm just wondering if it's giving you PTSD or something.
It's not actually.
Hearing it again. Hey, our friend, the great artist Luke McGarry, coming up on the program today. Also, we'll talk about deal breakers and who do you want to see on the Iron Throne? Kevin has a fascinating theory that I think might work, by the way. The most powerful person on the show, right?
Me.
Right? Well, I don't think that's what we're doing.
Oh.
Guys, I saw this article and I could not even believe it. Look, I know it is a difficult subject for parents to approach anything having to do with sexuality with their kids. Even if they're open-minded, even if they know a lot, it's still a hard conversation. It's hard to imagine your children becoming sexual beings.
Due to mature subject matter, viewer discretion is advised.
But this story, I think you guys will agree with me. Are parents handling it all wrong?
Parental discretion is advised.
Parents set up cameras in their teen sons.
Parents set up cameras
in their teen son's room.
No. Maybe it's a good time for me to mention that parents with small children listening might want to be aware that this particular talk is intended for a more mature audience.
After catching him masturbating.
Oh, no.
He's in Alaska. He went on to Reddit to seek legal advice from the Redditors there. He said his parents set up security cameras in his bedroom and bathroom.
I was going to say, you should have one in the shower, because that's where most of it's going down.
You should have one in every room, by the way.
Fair.
In the yard, in the car, in the laundry room,
next door neighbor's backyard.
In the sink.
Oh, jeez!
After his parents set up cameras in his bedroom and bathroom to make sure he no longer masturbates, what can I do, he asked. I'm 15, and I think I should be allowed to touch my own body. This is embarrassing, and it destroys my privacy. Please help. Apparently, at the beginning of May, so just within the last 2 weeks, his parents caught the teen masturbating, which, by the way, I should point out in case there are young people listening, is 100% normal, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
okay?
Why are they shaming this kid?
This is insane.
Yes. Instead of having a conversation where they say to the kid, hey, it's completely normal and there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay, this program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
He wrote that his parents have taboo beliefs regarding sexual activities before marriage and that he had to learn some things off the internet because he was not even allowed to be in a sexual education class. His parents opted him out of sex ed class, would not talk to him about sex. Mm. Then when he discovered, hey, that feels good, now he's being shamed for it. My dad barged in without knocking and started screaming at me. He and my mom, by the way, picture that moment for a second for that poor kid.
Oh, my God.
He and his mom.
Give me just 30 more seconds.
He and my mom then sat me down and told me I'm not allowed to touch myself. Mm-hmm. The mortified teen agreed not to masturbate anymore. But then he later found an Amazon package with indoor security cameras inside. I asked my dad and he said they're putting them in my room and in the bathroom so they can daily monitor and make sure that I'm not doing it.
I have to warn you, some of this is clearly inappropriate for young viewers. Please ask your children to leave the room.
So let's pretend for a minute that we're on this Reddit group.
Yeah.
And he is coming to us. This 15-year-old in Alaska is asking for advice. What do we tell this kid? What should he do next?
Because
he's 15. He lives at home. He's got to live under their rules, right?
Because he's 15, is it 100% legal of the parents? Like, if it wasn't legal, I would sue immediately.
Well,
but
they own the house. They could put cameras wherever they want, I believe.
I don't know. I don't know what the rules. I would look into that hardcore though, because I would sue in a second if there was anything.
If he knows the cameras are there too,
then you go to your parents' room when they're gone. Yeah. That's what you do.
but Kevin, that's not enough. Your parents may not leave the house every 25 minutes. I mean,
I burned the house down just so it's out there. I mean, this is a terrible situation.
Of course it is.
These sheets used to be blue.
Kevin. Too far, man.
I mean, between you and Sink Boy, come on.
Just trying to go along with the story.
Okay.
Could the argument be, I know this sounds stupid because it's their kid, but could the argument be, hey, you're creating child porn by filming me?
Oh.
Interesting.
Wow,
I don't know.
That got dark.
That's
a
different angle.
Well, I'm just looking for a way
legally.
Out for this poor
kid. For sure.
Mom, Dad, I will be naked in my room every second there's a camera there. That would be child porn.
And does he have any recourse beyond sitting down as parents? I mean, where could he go to get help? I mean, does he go to the ACLU? Does he go to the counselor at school and say, please talk to my parents? I mean, like, can you even change parents' minds if they're this far gone?
It doesn't sound like there's any changing these parents.
And they won't even let him take a sex ed class. Yeah. So talking to a teacher at school isn't going to help
You're
him.
Not allowed to touch yourself? That's ridiculous.
Well,
what?
I mean, between that, and women can't, you know, no autonomy over your own body. I mean, we get it as women.
I don't know what just happened.
She's hijacking and going
on
100 miles the other direction.
Wait to hear what the parents think about you is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
All I know is that so far, none of us are attorneys here. Mm-hmm. None of us are doctors. But so far, Jensen had the best idea, which is just the kid has to burn the house down.
Yeah. There's no out here. Okay. By the way, all jokes aside, this is what creates terrible situations for people as adults. This is what you hear a lot from, to bring it up, a lot of the school shooters talk about repressed sexuality.
And the incels.
Like, yeah, and incels and stuff like that. Like, this is a bad look all around.
Yeah.
And this is, we should have courses for this for parents. But I am going to raise my child like this. So.
Our friend Brad Williams is going to be joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. And in addition to talking about his appearance on Drop the Mic tonight, he is going to be helping us give away tickets to City Sound Vault presents Muse at the Hollywood Palladium this Saturday night. So that is going to be an outstanding half hour between 7 and 7:30. First, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro line? On the air once again with your calls at 323-520-AFRO. This is our 24-hour-a-day voicemail. You can leave us a message on any topic. And it's been a while, so I'm looking forward to getting caught up here.
Holy sh! How long has DJ Omar Khan been hot? Damn, boy. A little less talking, a little more smiling.
By the way, my wife is surprised. I'm sorry. My wife is surprised every single time she sees a picture of Omar. She always forgets how hot he is.
Question. Who picks the calls to be on?
Great question. Omar.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Huh.
Hey, guys. I have just met DJ Omar Khan at my son's school, Ramona Junior High in Chino. And he is the nicest guy. Yeah, it was a brief second, but I was like Kevin when he met Magic Johnson. I didn't know what to say, but it was awesome. So I just wanted to hand it out to him. He is a solid cat, and my kids loved him. So thank you, guys. Bye.
He's a solid cat.
Jeez.
Okay.
You don't hear that every day.
Now we see what's happening.
Remember Meowie Oki?
I'll never forget it.
Here's the theme song.
Meow, 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 Yoki.
Hey, if Meow Yoki isn't the number one freaking theme song of 2019, I'm going to burn that mother down. That was the most amazing piece of radio I've ever heard in my entire life.
Take it easy.
So three calls, yep. All three just heaping praise on the man who gave us the calls.
Yep.
Okay. Now we change topics.
Hey,
okay.
You guys have an audio drop of an old guy. And I can just about walk. I can't.
Okay. Hold on a second.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Something, something. Can't see too far, can't hear too good. What is he saying? What does he say? I can't hardly talk? You're killing me. You're killing me.
I can't holly talk. What does he say?
I can just about walk. I can't holly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Yeah, he said I can hardly walk.
I can hardly walk and can't see too good.
I can just about walk. I can't holly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think it's hardly walk.
Look, 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 look. I can't look. I'm listening to the radio. Why do you keep saying look? Can you just say listen?
He's got a point. Try to make a note of that. Thank you, sir.
So it's Thursday evening, and I was at the gym, and it was roughly 6 o'clock on the treadmill, and I look at one of the TVs, and there's Kevin and Bean. It's like, cool. Kevin and Bean's getting interviewed over in Atlanta. Look like maybe you're at the Waffle House like you wanted to. And then in the background was Jensen just scarfing down food. Didn't even look at the camera. Just was shoveling it in his pie hole. Jensen.
Guys, it was a bit.
That was awesome,
too. I did it on purpose.
The camera was 4 feet from his face.
I started eating food that wasn't there.
You were in the zone, too, though, man.
Yeah.
We talked about things that we were ashamed of that we may have done earlier in our lives.
Hey, so secret shame. When I was a little 16-year-old kid, me and my friends used to drive around and throw water balloons from the sunroof of our cars at runners. And I don't think it hurt anyone, but, you know, a 60-mile-an-hour water balloon sure doesn't feel great. Anyway, that's a secret shame.
Yeah, that qualifies.
Yep.
Hey, guys, podcast listener in Minnesota. I just got a call from my kid's school that they're going to be canceled tomorrow. This would be 4 days in a row. Why, God, why?
Yeah, it's been a rough winter for the Midwest.
We may not be at the top of our game.
Hey, guys, podcast listener. I was listening to the What's Happening from Tuesday show, and oh, my God, you guys thinking that 65 inches is 4 feet? Bean saying he doesn't know what a roly-poly is? Allie thinking a roly-poly and a millipede are the same thing? Like, freaking A, how freaking stupid are you people? Why do I keep listening to you?
That's a great question. It's more on you than it is on us, sweetheart.
Yeah, this message is for Kevin Ryder. I just caught my kid doing some of your Radeon derp. He's running around the house talking about aliens and possible terrorist situations. He's forgetting all kinds of things. He can hardly even speak, Kevin. He can hardly even speak. He's four. He's four, Kevin. He's driving around with a low battery in his car all the time. Charges it for 5 minutes good enough. Let's go. Then cries at the end of the driveway and wants me to come back and get it, Kevin. I've had it. The derp's got to go.
I don't know that that's all on me.
I feel like Kevin may be that son's real father.
So I was listening to Pastille, and I couldn't help but think, I think there's a better version of this song. Could we get that played? Thanks.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier. When the morning comes, you want to have some fun. But when you turn on the mic, we can hear you and you sound so stupid and so dumb.
How are you, boy?
Every moment with, would you like to take that back? Cause you talk for a living and I can't believe they let you broadcast on air.
I don't know, that's a toss-up.
You talk for a living. I cannot believe that you guys get paid to do this.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
You guys are freaking idiots.
I'm just a dumbass.
This is a tribute to...
Why?
Tribute to Kevin and Bean.
Tickets on sale Friday 10 at noon. Friday 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott here on the K-Rock Morning Show. What? That's us, right, Kevin?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
No
still
H.
Afro with an H?
They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. It's probably not the best description.
And right. Then to get that response just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever, however that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin to Beat Afro line. We have your calls on
no.
the air.
What? No.
Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
There you go.
Yep. That's the number for the Kevin to Beat Afro line. Jesus.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew's on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Now, I know that's a tenuous... What's the word I'm looking for after tenuous? Anyone? Just being quiet on purpose, because that's the rule. I know that's a weak example, is what I'm trying to say.
Would it be a connection? A connection? Connection? Could that be it?
Thank you, Bean. Connection is the word I could not think of.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Wow, this is something.
The only thing I can think is... Mistaken door. They
mistaken
thought they were
doorbell
to...
identity.
No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you guys are real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning.
Woo! Andrew Siciliano on the line. Andrew Siciliano, I should say, more pronounced the better.
Huh?
What? You're right.
More pronounced better.
Oh, you blow. You blow. You blow. Blow, blow.
That's the secret secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
Wow. Jensen, you don't board the Titanic after it's hit the iceberg.
You know what? I'm just the band that keeps playing.
323. I'm going to try and get this right. 520 AM.
I am very nervous about this segment. I will not have Jensen Karp,
yeah,
a newbie on the Kevin and Bean Show, come in here and besmirch our president. If there's one thing you can say about President Trump, he is as transparent a man who's ever held that office. He is above reproach. He is truthful and honest. And I'll tell you something else.
As I stand before you today, I see the greatest president in history. Of course he is. He was chosen by God.
So how are you coming at the president with your crazy fake Melania theory
now,
here, Jensen?
I haven't heard this because...
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So we have a fake... Mm-hmm. First lady.
Well, it says something about our president that this has any legs at all. Because even looking online, I was like, I don't know if this is true, but it could be. And that's even scarier. Back in May of 2018, you guys might remember when Melania Trump went missing. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, for several weeks.
Yeah, 28 days she was absent from the public eye.
That doesn't happen often.
No.
With the first lady.
No.
But hadn't she had a procedure done or something?
Well,
or
after,
had she?
Yeah, after the media started to question why we hadn't seen the first lady, it was said that she had a kidney condition and had to have a surgery for it, but then nothing was ever explained into any further detail.
Okay.
Because on June 4th, she reemerged with no explanation. And
however, with a facelift, though, to look more like the real Melania.
Well, that's what we'll get into.
Okay.
Take your time, Bean. Yeah, geez, he's really jumping on this one.
I was trying to be as crazy as I could be, but now you're telling me that's really what happened.
Yeah, at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, we just posted out two pictures of Melania Trump. Because the visuals in the past, we've seen of her, right? Forced smile, the weird thing where like it seems like she doesn't want to hold Donald Trump's
sometimes
hand.
Sometimes actually doesn't.
Yeah.
Avoids his hand.
Also keep in mind, this is the first president in decades. Decades. Where the first lady and president sleep in separate rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he had an affair after she gave birth. Okay, so October 13th, they have an impromptu press conference to discuss Iran and healthcare. And Melania was right behind him over, I believe, the right shoulder. And she was wearing a trench coat and sunglasses. Donald Weirdly, when he was explaining things, said, "My wife Melania, who happens to be right here," and pointed at her, which is an insane thing to
say. It's sort of a given. We all know that.
This is actually the real person, Melania Trump, that I am married to, and it is not an imposter.
I mean, he would have said that and it wouldn't have stood out as much. It prompted a Twitter user named Joe Vargas to point out pictures of Melania that day with other pictures. Her lips and nose 100% look different. Her height seems different than normal when compared to Donald Trump.
Okay.
Now, this theory picked up some steam when people noticed that a slightly shorter member of the Secret Service team that follows around Melania Trump does look a lot like Melania Trump, which is also
one of the Secret Service.
Yes.
Okay.
They look a lot alike.
They do.
Then the theory popped back up last month when Trump appeared. Again, she was wearing those sunglasses and the trench coat, like she's three children stacked on each other, at a memorial at Opelika, Alabama, for the 23 victims who died in a tornado there. Again, different face, different height. The theory was mentioned then on The View.
Okay.
Oh, so now it's getting mainstream.
Yes, it's a lot bigger than just on your weird Reddit forum.
Mm-hmm.
The fake. This is what Donald Trump tweeted that day when it was on The View. You ready? "The fake news photoshopped pictures of Melania, then propelled conspiracy theories that it's actually not her by my side in Alabama and other places. They are only getting more deranged with time." Now, here's the thing. You could believe or not believe that it's a fake Melania Trump.
Right.
But it's definitely not photoshopped.
They didn't photoshop anything
from the media. So that means you have to agree with Donald Trump and say they're photoshopped, or it's a fake Melania, or the truth, which is probably just that pictures are different when you shoot them from different angles.
Right.
But both of these theories, that the media is photoshopping pictures of Melania and that there's a fake Melania, are both insane.
It's fake news. It's disgusting.
That's craziness.
Fake news.
All right, here's what I will say. If I were Melania Trump and I could get away with sending somebody out there to be the first lady?
Yeah.
I 100% am signing up for
100%.
That.
Let's not pretend Daft Punk shows up to all their events.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I would do it every time.
All right, so let's talk about the percentage that you believe it. I mean, I know it's absurd, most of us would just outright say that's stupid. There's no way they could even, A, get away with it if they wanted to.
I would think it had no legs.
Okay.
Except the idea that Donald Trump's excuse for it is clearly a lie. So that makes me question everything in general, because it's not Photoshop pictures.
It's definitely not Photoshop.
So it doesn't look like her, that's for sure. But, you know, sometimes we all take photos where we don't look like ourselves.
Sure, yeah, different angles and stuff.
But lighting.
Does that affect your height, though, Jensen?
No.
It can make it look that way, though, from a different angle.
I got really deep into this. I got very much Homeland, and I was really breaking down every photo. And it does seem like she was wearing heels in one of them and flats in another. So I was sort of thinking, oh, maybe it's that she's wearing sneakers because she is in Alabama.
Sure.
But then some of the other ones where I have some height issues.
Because she is in Alabama. Is that where you wear sneakers?
No, no.
That's the sneaker country.
I do say that because one time she did get, during a flood, she did get sort of brushed back from wearing heels.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think now when
they were
she...
fancy shoes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, so now I think when she goes to anything where someone died, she wears sneakers.
Well, she calls her double and says, wear sneakers.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
She's like, wear the Nike. Someone died here. But it is, I mean, listen, it just says something about the overall state of the government right now that there would be even any legs for this
be
a possible thing. That they would send out a double in order to make, I mean, because we could all agree, no matter what side you're on, it seems she hates him.
Yeah, it does.
We could all.
And I think even if you're a supporter of his, you have to sort of look at it and go, she's not fond of him.
Well, and that's only after it was, you know, exposed that he paid off adult film entertainers in order to hide their affairs. I mean, I would assume she hates him. So if she could find a double, she probably would, right?
I would find a double just for me, and I don't do much.
Right.
But if, you know what I'm saying? Like, I respect it.
The problem with
just
you is,
to have somebody to go to the dinners that you regret accepting.
That's what I'm saying.
The problem with you is that when you don't come in here, we fill in you with Brad Williams.
Oh, that's not a good double.
No. No one thinks it's you.
Comedian Adam Ray coming on in the next hour. I'm not sure how this came up, but we were talking about driving instructors, and Allie told us about hers.
Yeah, I was 15 years old. You know, you've got your permit. You have to take the class with the driving instructor. They really teach you the ins and outs of driving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on my first day, my driving instructor said, hey, get on the freeway here. And I was like, first time ever driving. Is that smart?
I've never been on a freeway?
Never been on a freeway.
Okay.
I get on the freeway, and we go deep into the valley. We are now in Chatsworth, and he's like, oh, yeah, just pull into here. I want to show you where Charles Manson used to have his meetings.
I'm sorry, what?
He took me to Spahn Ranch, where they have the Manson Caves, where he would basically indoctrinate his little wackadoodle ladies that followed his every word.
So by the time you got there, this wasn't a surprise. He told you before he was going to take you
there? No, we're in Chatsworth, and I'm like, okay, where now? And he goes, oh, just pull in here. And we get out of the car, and we're walking around, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to die.
He's going to kill you.
This is so not appropriate. This isn't okay. And then he's showing me stuff around. I'm like, okay, well, it's going to be dark soon, and I don't live anywhere near Chatsworth.
I know.
Eyes red glowing.
Insane.
Pulls out a knife.
Yeah. I go home, tell my mom. My mom was like, yeah, we're going to handle this. Just nip it right in the bud. Called the place, and I don't know what happened with him. However, I did get a tweet after I brought up that story from Rocky Alvarez, who said, did we have the same driving instructor? Mine took me up to Spahn Ranch, too. He also gave my phone number to a boy who rode with us on a later trip because he thought I was cute.
Oh,
incredibly creepy and inappropriate. So it got us...
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Do you think he was trying to show off by taking you there?
I don't know. He was... I can't even... As a 15-year-old, I was thinking maybe he was in his 30s, so he was just like, let me show this young whippersnapper all this amazing stuff I know about cults. Like,
I think that's best-case scenario
I hope it is.
Honestly.
It is a thankless job. I don't think it's a cool... I don't think you have a great time, mostly.
There's two things.
Yeah.
I think most of them are freaking creepy and weird.
Yes.
And second of all, I would never be one because it seems like an impossible job.
Absolutely.
It seems awful.
But then we all realized, each of us has a story.
I have one. Yeah, my driving instructor, right when I was 15 with my permit, he picks me up and he's like, I'm so sorry if I seem out of it. And I said, yeah, you know. I'm,
first words.
Yeah, I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And he goes, unfortunately, last month, both of my parents died.
Yeah,
in an accident, and I was 15, so I wasn't like, what accident? I was just like, let him keep, just stop talking.
What?
And then
why would
like,
he tell you that?
I don't know, and then he goes, and even worse,
it was Charles Manson.
Yeah. let me go show you where he did it. He goes, even worse, yesterday we had the funeral, and
what?
I got home from the funeral, and my dog had eaten all the chocolates that were sent to me, and now he's dead.
Oh, my God.
You think he was just messing with Jensen? Like, I'm just going to mess with this kid.
That's what you would do, isn't
yeah,
it?
Totally.
I was like, I'm so sorry to hear that. And then we just drove for like an hour.
I think it's hard to put yourself in that position because you're a little scared when he's the boss and you're the kid. At some point, like, now wouldn't you go, maybe today's not the best day to learn to drive.
Yeah, right? I'd be like, listen, man, I think we could do this next week.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, no, I made a mixtape of death. Do I hear it? What the hell?
Omar's is very much like mine. We're going to get yours in 1 second, but then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you had some type of a crazy driving instructor. Mm-hmm. All right, Omar.
Yeah, mine was at 15 and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to take the 30 hours or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I had already been driving since I was 13. I would always take my mom's car. So
Wait, what does that mean? Your mom didn't care?
No. Well, I started stealing my mom's car, I should say.
What are you doing? Hood rat stuff?
Yeah, exactly. And I got busted. And then, after my mom and my stepdad knew I knew how to drive, they would, like, legit give me the keys and say, go to the store, get us some stuff.
Okay.
So I had been driving for a while.
You were an errand boy.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, a kid who's, you know, 15, I was like, oh, yeah, let me go get whatever. You know, I just wanted to drive. So I get the driver instructor comes to my house and, you know, I kind of like have like, you know, like a little talk with him. I'm like, hey, dude, I already know how to drive. I'm just doing this for formality so I could get my license.
Let me just put myself in his position.
Yeah.
I expect you to say that. Mm-hmm. I expect it to be false. I have to do my job. I have to teach you how to drive.
Yeah, okay. Everyone played Outrun on Nintendo. I can drive. I did GTA for a couple of
years. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, totally. And I expect you to be cautious, as one of these instructors are. And this kind of car had the brake on both sides.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I had a brake, and he had the brake on his side.
No.
But he would have to reach around the steering wheel.
Oh, wow. Now we're talking.
If he had wanted to control the steering wheel. Mm-hmm. So he's in my driveway, and I was like, okay, I'm going to back out now. So as the very first thing, I give it a little gas. He hits the brake. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's just like, well, I think you were going a little fast. I was like, no, I'm okay. Okay? So at this point, I'm still kind of calm.
Yeah.
I start backing out again. Boom! Slams the brake again. And now my nerves are, I'm on edge now.
Yeah.
So I kind of like totally like freak out. And the entire trip, I'm a terrible driver.
You're white knuckling it.
And this guy's like reaching around, like correcting my turns. Yeah, it was a terrible experience.
Yikes.
Terrible experience.
Because you were completely calm until he entered the
Absolutely.
Scene.
Yeah. Then I really seemed like a new driver.
That's insane.
You were a perfect 13-year-old driver.
Yeah. Oh, I was awesome.
All right, let's take a few phone calls. Let's start with Andrew in Buena Park. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. All right, so I was senior in high school, and I wanted to get my license early. So we go, and I'd already been driving kind of like how Omar was, but my parents showing me the ropes. Mm-hmm. My dad was a young driver, so he wanted me to kind of learn before I go to classes.
Look, son, I know you're only 7, but it's time that you learn how to drive.
Exactly. It all started out in the desert. Anyways, instructor comes and picks me and my friend up. We're taking the classes together, and the guy looks really sweaty, super pale. So we hop in the car, and he tells me, all right, go ahead and take off. So I look at the guy. I'm like, you all right? He's all, I partied hard last night. Really hung over. He said, you know how to drive? Kind of. He's like, all right. So he stood up for about like 5-10 minutes, watch me, you know what you're doing. Wake me up when we get to when we hit this area.
What?
Okay.
He told you he was gonna pass out for a little bit because he was hung over and wake him up when you get there?
I swear to God, he's all, drive 5 miles down this road and down this, because we're on Beach Boulevard. So he's all, drive down, he's all, go about 5 miles, wake me up. Do a recline this seat. I swear to God. Takes a swig of his Gatorade, reclines his seat, and says, I'll see you guys in 5 miles.
Oh, wow.
Then he dies.
He wakes up, and then he starts telling us, well, if you guys are ever driving, you guys are hungover, he's all peanut butter. Spoonful of peanut butter and Gatorade to replenish your electrolytes. What the?
I love that.
I mean, a great tip.
A driving instructor is telling you how to drive drunk or hungover.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, hungover, that's for sure. He adamantly, don't drive drunk. I picked up a taxi, but if you have to drive the next morning and know you're going to be hungover, peanut butter so it covers up the alcohol smell, and then Gatorade to replenish your electrolyte.
Did it cover up the alcohol smell with him?
No, he didn't do the peanut butter thing he said.
It's great.
That's insanity.
We have a text from the 951. My driving instructor made me stop at a Chinese food restaurant. He goes in by himself, comes out with a whole plate of food, and proceeded to eat it while teaching me how to drive.
I mean... I respect it.
Right? Yeah, guy's my hero.
Yeah. I feel like I would do that, too, as a driving instructor. All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take a quick All right, just ahead of the temper trap, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Alex in Anaheim. We're talking about crazy driving instructors. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I was 16, have a permit. The guy shows up. He has no name on the car whatsoever from the driving school. My dad lays into him. Says, where are your the names? You know, who's the name of the school? So my dad takes the license plate number. He takes his license number as well and his address. So as we're driving around the first day, the guy's just having me drive around doing errands for him. He's like, oh, yeah, pull over here. The guy, he's fixing my remote controls. And pull over here. The guy owes me money. That's what we're doing the first day.
Plus, I need you to come with me to break his knees because he's owed me money for a long time.
The second day, as we're talking, the guy finds out we're musicians, and he actually did have a couple of CDs out. He's in Spanish rock, and I seen his albums on the shelves when I was going to the music stores.
Right.
So the next day, we're driving around. So like, hey, we're near my studio. Do you want to go jam? I was like, all right, let's go jam.
What?
Out of an hour and a half that we're supposed to be driving. 20 minutes driving, another hour of just jamming out in the guy's studio.
I mean, I feel like you won.
Yeah,
right?
That sounds pretty good.
You deserve a license.
I did one. The last day, he showed me, he's like, hey, what DMV are you going to? Oh, the one in Compton. Great, let's go over there. I'll show you. There's two routes. They're going to start you off like this, do this, do that, and watch out here, and you're going to pass.
Wow.
Told you the exact route for your test.
Wow.
Nice.
He really wanted someone to jam with.
He's like, then come back, and I just want to play music with you, Alex.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You can call or text either one. You had a crazy driving instructor. We will take your calls next on K-Rock. Next hour, comedian Adam Ray will join us. Right now, we're talking about ridiculous, crazy, strange driving instructors. And Sean is calling in from Long Beach. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you for calling. Thanks for listening. What do you got?
So, I 15 and a half, 16 years old, and I'm all excited about my driving experience. And so this guy comes to my house, picks me up, and he seems okay. He's pretty quiet. And, you got to do, three sessions with this guy for, 3 hours a piece or whatever.
Right.
And so halfway through the first session, he just randomly kind of turns over to me and he says, hey, do you like screenplays? And being, 16, I was like, I guess.
You would say yes to anything that your driving instructor asks you, I assume.
You're supposed to.
Yeah. Exactly. And so he goes, oh, great. And so he goes to his backpack and pulls out thick reams of paper of his screenplays that he has written over the years and tried to, produce. And he's like, oh, well, I mean, we got some time, so, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, man.
So you were driving and he was reading his screenplay to you.
Yep. Because he needed an ego boost, and the 16-year-old kid in the driver's seat was going to give it to him.
Wow. I mean, imagine where your life has gone that you're asking 15 and 16-year-olds for screenplay notes.
15 and 16-year-olds who are sort of in a position where they have to give you support.
Yeah. What was the movie about, Sean?
It was Good Will Hunting.
Congratulations, Ben Affleck.
So this whole entire thing, he wanted to make this movie, and he wanted to, he goes, it could be adapted to anything. But it was essentially about these doctors who, I mean, pretty much like a doctor movie show, essentially where doctors, stop caring for patients and have really weird, sexual, fantasies with each other.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Right. So you had oh, my God. It wasn't only just a screenplay. It was like a sexual one
sexual
to a 15-year-old.
I'm sorry, we started losing your phone there at the end, but thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Steven in Irvine. Good morning, Steven.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Driving instructors.
Good. Yeah, I grew up in Whittier. It's about 15 years ago, getting my permit. First lesson was pretty chill.
second lesson, the guy was literally kind of the same as the first caller. Like, hey, you're doing really, really good. Why don't you just go ahead and take it from here? We got about 45 minutes. Go wherever you want to go. Passed out.
Passed out.
I drove to Disneyland because I'm like, that's where I know how to go. Woke him up when we got there. He's like, oh, yeah, I love this place. Don't worry. We didn't go in. Then went back and was like, you go ahead and wake me up and we're 10 minutes out. And looking back, that was horrible.
Yeah. Horrible. Wow. Not good.
That's just insanity.
Bad horrible. At his job.
It's a job that nobody else wants too, though. I would imagine they have to take sort of whoever they can. So it seems a little odd that way. All right, let's go to Angie in Riverside. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Morning.
Strange driving instructors.
Yes. So when I was 15, the driving instructor showed up at my house and, you know, he just looked like a middle-aged man, but he was kind of slovenly. The car was filled with trash. And my mom was like, you know what? I do not like this guy. Mm-hmm. So she's like, you can only go if I come with you. So we did our time and then we did a couple more sessions. And about 2 weeks after my instruction was done, the police contacted us and said that he had been arrested for taking girls out to remote locations and taking pictures of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thank God for women's intuition.
Thank God for your mom.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So every time she said, I don't like this person, I trusted her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. That's crazy gross.
Grody.
And everything else. All right, let's talk to Scotty because this can't be real. Scotty, and you're Belinda.
Hey, morning.
Good morning. Thank you for listening and calling.
I was 15. My driver instructor came and picked me up. He was very, very Scottish, thick, heavy accent. He found out I, too, was Scottish, as you can tell from my name. So he was very excited. Mm-hmm. The first thing he has me do is drive in reverse down my street at 30 miles per hour.
Hold on a minute.
Is it something you often do?
Hold on a minute.
Is he trying to go back in time?
Driving backwards is really difficult, let alone at 30 miles an hour.
It was a four-lane street. Nobody was around, and he said this is the best way to learn. It was 30 miles per hour. And meanwhile, he breaks out his electric bagpipe, which is a bagpipe without the bag. Mm-hmm. It's just battery operated, and starts playing. I don't know what's worse, me, the bagpipe, or me going 30 miles per hour, nearly wetting myself at 15.
Scott eats the bagpipe.
Okay.
For sure.
That is just straight insanity that he's doing that. All right, let's go to Charlotte in Simi Valley. Good morning.
Morning.
What happened to you?
Okay, so my driving instructor picks me up at my high school after school in front of everybody. He gets out of this giant SUV, and he is a little person.
Yes.
And he had extenders on the pedals, and he had a modified driver's seat.
Uh-huh.
And I had to cram my 5'8" body into a seat that was designed for someone that was 3'8".
He didn't change it out so you could fit normally?
He would not let me take the things off the pedals. He would not, was not willing to do anything. And then the entire drive, because I couldn't use my legs correctly because there was not enough space, criticized me for not braking smoothly, not driving smoothly.
Oh, my God.
And he would put books in the passenger seat so that he could see out the window.
He taught you how to drive as a little person.
Apparently, yeah, and it didn't go so well, and it was really embarrassing trying to pull out of the student parking lot.
Very odd. Huh. Very odd.
That is fantastic. All right, one more call. We have Lauren in Irvine. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Crazy driving instructors. What happened?
My instructor picked me up, and just a few minutes into the drive, she said, do you mind if we stop somewhere? And we ended up going to her grandmother's funeral for a few minutes.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that didn't happen.
You hung out with her during the funeral?
I stayed in the car. It was just about 10 or 15 minutes. She ran in. I just kind of hung out. You know, like you said, at 16, what else are you going to do? I don't know any different.
Right.
So that was pretty much it. And then we just continued on with the session.
When she came back and sat in the car, was she sobbing?
No, she was fine.
You had a psychopath.
This is a good one, you guys. This is a good one. I've had some good Bridezilla stories lately, and I think I have another one. This is a woman who decided not to ask one of her very closest friends, a childhood best friend who she is still close with, to be her bridesmaid, decided not to ask her.
Okay.
Why do you think? She said, we're friends and I love you, but
I
can't have you be in my wedding.
I'm going to say friend is prettier than her.
Mm. Oh, good answer. I was going to say doesn't think she has the responsibility. Doesn't think she can do it. Alex? Can't count on her.
Fat.
Jeez.
Yeah, she's an awful bride. She's an awful woman.
Oh, she is. She absolutely is an awful woman.
Okay.
All right, so Kevin, you say too pretty.
Yep.
Jensen, you say not responsible enough. Allie, you say the same.
Fat.
Fat.
She's
fat.
Fat. Okay, you say fat. Okay. Yeah. The unnamed bride has shared her side of the story, telling asking fellow users if she was an a-hole for not including her friend in the wedding party. She said that she did not ask Aaron to be her bridesmaid, and she asked why, and I told her the truth. It's because of her massive breasts.
Oh.
Literally,
I didn't think that.
Literally bigger than they should be physiologically possible because she has a hormone disorder that causes her breasts to grow to an excessive degree.
Wait, so it's not her fault?
Yes, it's a medical condition. The bride goes on to explain that she initially wanted to be Aaron to be a bridesmaid, but thinking about the logistics of getting a dress tailored to fit her friend's dimension had stressed her out. But her bigger worry was being upstaged on her big day by her friend's breasts.
Okay.
Does this article have photos? Or?
She continued, part of me has a fear that Aaron's presence would be a distraction because all of us would be sitting in the church or at the reception not looking at the bride, but instead going, check out that rack.
I'm going to say this right now.
Can't you do both?
If her husband-to-be is listening, run.
Get out, right?
Run as fast as you can from this insecure, awful woman. And the rest of her friends, run. Everyone around this woman, run. What a trash, garbage human being.
I've been Aaron's friend since we were kids. I've been there through it all, and I've seen how people react to her situation. When people think back on my wedding, I want them to think about how beautiful the venue was or how nice the wedding party looked, or dare I say, my fiancé and I finally getting hitched. I don't want people to remember my wedding for the bridesmaid with the giant boobs.
Sad. It's kind of a mean, I don't know. Just like, it's not like she, yeah,
she's a terrible person.
Awful. Even if she's chosen it, it's mean, but in the fact that this woman has a disorder.
Yeah.
And honestly, I recognize that maybe those who tell me I'm being selfish are correct. But then I also think if there's ever a time I can be selfish, it's probably on my wedding day.
Oh, she's not. She's not going to quit being selfish.
No, please.
No.
She is not being well received with this.
What a surprise.
By the way. So, yeah, exactly as Jensen pointed out, to not include someone in your wedding party because they have a medical problem. I mean, if she had a prosthetic arm, would it be the same thing?
If they were
she
was like,
in a wheelchair?
I don't want to have to have everyone staring at my friend with MS.
Right.
Exactly.
That's a terrible bride.
So we've all agreed with taking off Monday because of the national emergency. Mm-hmm. It's not safe to come to work. And now we all agree murder button for the bride.
Sure.
Please.
My belief
so. Got some real consensus going on here today, you guys.
And I think Jensen brought up a good point. Are there pictures?
Unfortunately, no. Unfortunately, no.
I'd like to double check that.
Yeah, you would.
Monday morning means great news on the program later on today. Also, our friend Steve-O will be joining us in studio. And Jensen reviews Detective Pikachu. Yes, a movie he saw twice this weekend. Speaking of Jensen, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Listen, I get you up on the things from QSRs, which are known as quick service restaurants, and something I call the fast food report.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report with your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He is Jensen Karp. Take it away, gumshoe.
Oh, thank you, Detective.
Wow.
Okay, so here we go. I'm ready to get you up on some foods. Then I'm going to ask you if you will eat it or beat it. Will you be into these things when they are released in your area? That's all I'm asking.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Question for you guys. Try to follow along. Do you like Cinnabon?
Yes.
Sure.
Do you like biscuits?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, KFC does the unthinkable.
Eat it.
May I present the Cinnabon dessert biscuit? A Cinnabon dessert biscuit. Available through June 30th only.
Why are you still talking?
Okay, the chain has combined their world-famous biscuits with the sugary goodness of Cinnabon's brown sugar glaze and cream cheese frosting, mashing them up for only $1 a biscuit or $3 for a pack of 4. That's crazy.
Wow.
They're letting you save that $1 for the eventual diabetes treatment. Customers can also get a 4-pack for free with any 10-piece meal or larger. So I ask you, does the KFC Cinnabon dessert biscuit give you a confection, midsection, erection? In other words, eat it or beat it. First, we'll go with Allie.
I'm going to eat it, Jensen.
Kevin, as if I have any question. That was obvious. Bean, where are we at? Eat it or beat it.
Shut up and take my money.
All right, there we go. Let's move on. As a child, nothing meant more to me than my mother's love. But second to that was the taste of Golden King's Hawaiian bread.
And now, I love it.
So good.
And now, following the lead of Arby's, Sonic introduced for a limited time the King's Hawaiian Burger Club. It features a pure beef patty topped with bacon, lettuce, tomato, Swiss cheese, and Sonic's signature sauce, all on a King's Hawaiian bun. Mm. It's priced at $4.99, so I ask you, the King's Hawaiian Burger Club from Sonic, do you say aloha or aloha? Let's just see. Eat it or beat it. Let's start with Bean.
I think all hamburger buns should now be made of King Hawaiian, since somebody just thought of it. I'm way in. Eat it.
Eat it.
Eat and it.
Eat it.
Aloha.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, eat it.
Oh,
eat
okay, it. Okay, good. Could have been either way. So far, we are 2 for 2.
All right.
Can we keep the streak alive? Next, from the Netherlands. You do not want to miss this meal addition. The Stroop Waffle McFlurry.
What?
This is real.
Explain.
All right. It's a vanilla soft serve mixed with a caramel swirl featuring authentic chopped Dutch Dalemen Stroop waffle caramel waffle cookie pieces. Those are the thin, round waffle cookies that usually have syrup in the middle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they made a McFlurry out of that, and they're the best thing out of the Netherlands since Anne Frank. So I ask you.
Oh my God.
I ask you, is it the Netherland or the Neverland? Eat it or beat it, kind of, or also drink it or sink it. It's kind of both, right?
Okay.
Okay, Kevin, first.
Eat it, drink it. Eat,
drink it.
Allie?
Sounds amazing.
Drink it. Eat and eat it.
Drink it. Eat it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
okay, Bean.
This is the most delicious fast food report ever. Right? I am 110% in.
Eat it, drink it.
Okay, so far we're
3 out of 3.
Can I continue the streak?
Sure.
This one's for the lady. For the first time in 5 years, Dr. Pepper is offering a new flavor.
Okay? Yes.
All right. Part of a promotional tie-in with the new Spider-Man Far From Home movie, and it's called Dr. Pepper Dark Berry.
Oh.
It's the classic Dr. Pepper flavor that fans love, but it brings out the dark side with tangy fruit flavors like blackberry, black currant, and black cherry. It's like a goth Dr. Pepper. The new limited edition Dr. Pepper flavor can be found in 12 packs or in a 20-ounce liter bottle. So I ask you, once you go black, do you go back, drink it, or sink it?
I am going to keep my head up because the darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I am going to drink the hell out of that.
Drink it.
Okay, I'm going to ask Kevin next. We have a streak on the line. Kevin, where are you?
I'm going to drink the hell out of it.
Yeah.
We are now in the midst of our first perfect fast food report.
Oh, this feels
good. It all goes to Bean. It's on his shoulders. Bean, the Spider-Man Dr. Pepper, are you drinking it or sinking it?
It sounds racist.
Well, that is...
That's not the point.
It's not the point. Remember, it's all Spider-Man, Tom Holland. He seems like a pretty cool dude.
What's it called? The Dr. Pepper Dark what?
Well, it's called the Dr. Pepper Dark Berry.
Okay. It sounds delicious. I continue the streak, and I will drink it.
Look at that.
Guys, our first ever perfect fast food report. I could not be more excited, and that is what I love.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the Fast Food Report with Jensen.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 627.
They got ripped off at the Grammys, but we're still playing Local H, still showing them love on this show.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, get up on this because it's Thursday, our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program later on today. We got a special Valentine's Day edition of Cheers with Beer Mug. And speaking of the holiday today on February 14th, I've got a little something that's going to help the, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Sure.
A little something that's going to help the men out there with their ladies.
Says the guy who hates Valentine's Day.
Right.
I'm Mr.
What
Romance.
What could go wrong?
You guys know that.
Sure.
That's coming up in about 15 minutes. First, though, Allie came across something yesterday that sounds too good to be true. What's going on?
So we all know there's different kinds of yoga, right? You've got the Bikram yoga. You've got the hot yoga. Recently, that goat yoga was kind of a big deal.
My wife is mm-hmm. currently doing pregnancy yoga.
Oh yeah. That's real big. Okay. Absolutely. But a lot of times when you think of yoga, you think of, you know, serenity. You're channeling your inner zen, correct?
Calming.
You don't often think of this.
Rid of all tension in your head, your neck, your jaw, everything. Let it go.
Yeah, let it effing go.
Love
People
it.
yelling out expletives, because this is called rage yoga, you guys.
Rage yoga.
I'm going to let a woman named Ashley Dusich explain.
We're all angry about something, and we all have been holding on to an F-bomb for a little bit too long. Yeah. So that's what this does. It allows you to have a safe space to let go of your anger and frustration and rage in a healthy way.
And if you're thinking, listen, this can't be real yoga, the official Rage Yoga website says that instructors have completed a certification program and have a minimum of 200 hours of yoga instructor certification. Here's why I love this class.
Okay.
They're told to just let things out. Anything you're mad at, just yell it out. My favorite that I heard, all I asked was for you to do the dishes, is something yelled during rage yoga.
You know what's funny is that that technically might help.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
You get it out, you're stretching, you feel good after. And by feel good after, well, that's when the beer is.
Oh, I'm sorry?
You get to have cold beer. You can also take beer breaks during this.
Okay.
Like, if you're just yelling about something, you're like, ooh, a little parched, grab a beer.
This is my kind of exercise.
This is amazing. I am so into that. But maybe you're one of those people that wants to try out yoga unencumbered by societal norms. Just really get back to your primal nakedness. And for you, that's naked yoga. And sure, could you do it in the comfort of your own home, naked, just all by yourself? Tons of instructional videos. Absolutely, you can do that. But wouldn't it be more fun to take group classes that are co-ed?
Hello.
Hello.
It depends on where you sit in the class, I think.
Yeah, yeah. If you're curious, there are locations here in L.A. Go to nakedyoga-la.com. There's private 101 classes if you just want to start slow. There's also workshops and then, of course, the group classes, which are co-ed. They take place in Venice at a place called the Love Dome. $25, you must pre-register and prepay because, as you can imagine, these classes do fill up. However, they need you to bring your own yoga mat.
Sure,
of course.
Because
I don't want the one that somebody just used.
No, you do not. hey, also bring a towel.
Oh.
To wipe away anything left over that might be there. And just, you know, some hydration as well. And in case you're wondering, well, do I have to be totally naked? Up to you. They said a lot of people start out the class as fully dressed, and then by the end of it, buck naked.
That co-ed has to be 99% sausage.
I would think.
Yeah, okay.
I just know if
I pay for that class and everybody's not naked,
right,
it turns into rage yoga. Yeah. That's what I know.
I love it. Well, this got us thinking about all the different kinds of yoga that maybe nobody has even thought about that's going on right underneath our noses. We had no idea. What do you have, Jensen?
I found laughter yoga.
Oh.
What?
This is a real thing. Yeah, it's exactly what it sounds like. It started in Mumbai with just five people in the mid-90s, and it's now spread across 50 countries.
Whoa.
And without trying to sound too judgmental, I think it is very stupid. Basically, it has very little to do with yoga outside of some simple arm stretching and like walking around. It's just people kind of moving around. These are clubs where people meet up and basically on the count of three just start fake laughing.
What?
Yeah, very loudly, very like, whoa, very. It's like their therapy because they say that your body doesn't know the difference between real laughing and fake laughing. I get it is scientific because I've seen interviews with doctors and stuff saying it.
Is that accurate, really, medically?
That's what they said in these interviews I watched. And so basically these people go in there and they make faces and pantomime and all while breathing, dancing, and clapping. And the thing is they just scream laugh. And they're usually there for some sort of trauma that they can't laugh about, right? So like people go, it's like therapy, but done through yoga. And so let's listen to one class. This is the craziest clip I've ever found on the internet, just so you know. Let's listen to one class where the participants introduce themselves and explain why they're there. Then they have a positive mantra that they repeat.
My name is Gita. And I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease.
What?
Very good. Very good. Okay.
No, not very good.
No, that's, oh my God. You don't understand what she said.
Wow. I'm in. I know that.
Wow.
Then I swear to God, the next one is, you know, says their name and then says, and I recently was diagnosed with breast cancer, and then everyone laughs
oh,
again.
Oh, my God.
And then they chant very good, very yeah. good. Oh.
Listen to K-Rock all week at 9 a.m. on our show, at noon on 3 p.m. and at 6 p.m. for your chance to get 3-day passes to the Ohana Festival at Doheny State Beach, September 27th to the 29th.
All the way to Doheny we're sending you?
Right.
That's amazing. This festival, by the way, there's a ton of bands, but I'll mention The Strokes, I'll mention Eddie Vedder, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Incubus, and way more. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at ohanafest.com. Go to krock.com for a chance to win some tickets, or my advice, stick around and win some from us at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock.
DJ Omar Hot Khan, is that what we're calling him?
Hey, I thought it was Homar.
Homar, sorry.
Just Homar. Hey, Homar.
How are you?
Brad, you don't know this, but somehow the ladies have been peeping out Omar when we do Instagram Live.
I know this.
No.
You do know
because
this.
Because I am somewhat associated with this show, and I have had people hit me up and be like, so what's Omar's
you
deal?
You too?
Yeah.
Well, what the hell's happening?
Well, I don't know what happened. I don't know how Omar got hot, but he's now officially referred to as Homar. And,
even if you think you're attractive, which in the words of Gene Simmons, you're a very handsome, powerful man, Omar, but at the same time, like, once you hear you talk, doesn't it ruin it?
Hey, how dare
well, wait, I just want to sing. It should ruin it.
I just want to clarify. We're talking about
Omar North Tower.
That's right.
Yep. Okay. And by the way, plenty of gentlemen reaching out as well. Omar's sexuality is
fluid.
Yeah, attractive to everybody.
It changes on the day.
The reason you are here, though, is because you just went through a blessed event in your life this weekend.
Yes.
You have questions.
I do. So my youngest turned 5, and I think, you know, you should have a big party when your kid turns 5, 10, 13, 18 if they want it. But, yeah, so we did this huge party, and, like, parties nowadays are out of control.
Yeah, no question.
Okay,
yeah.
Because not only do you need a candy station, you need a snack station, ice cream bar. you have a cake, right? And on top of this...
How did you learn all of this? Just from going to other parties?
Yes. And, you know, we don't want to be outdone.
You know what I mean?
And also,
keep up with the Joneses.
And then also, I love Zozo to death, so I think she deserves it.
Of course.
So I want her to have the best.
What would happen if you just had a bowl of popcorn and a Frozen DVD? I mean, would that
riots?
Not be a party?
No, then I'd get bored. You know what I mean? So not only that, you have all the food that you have to buy. So you're buying like 10 pizzas and then all the hot dogs, and you have to get 2 piñatas now.
What?
You have to get two piñatas.
Since
because
when?
In case the first one breaks with 5 kids in and you still have a line of kids,
oh, interesting.
You have to have a backup piñata, right? Filled with candy.
Wow.
And on top of that, you have games and you have to buy prizes for those games when the kids win, right?
Right.
And then on top of that, entertainment. And our entertainment is that we got a Hello Kitty to show up for 2 hours.
I saw your picture with Hello Kitty, and it was creepy as hell.
It's a little bit creepy.
Not Mr. Clown? Why didn't you hire Mr. Clown?
Oh, man. I should have thought of that.
Because he loves his daughter, Bean.
Maybe when they turn 10, they can stand Mr. Clown.
You'll float too, Omar.
That's the Armenian comedian, for those of you that don't know.
So we have 20 kids, which is a ton of kids.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep. And they're all around Zoe's age?
All around Zoe's age, and they're having a blast. But so after the party's all set and done, all these kids expect a goodie gift bag at the end of the day.
That's become a thing.
And
so
I don't,
after you spending all of that money on the party,
yes,
now you have to give every kid that's there a gift.
Exactly. Filled with some candy, some toys of some kind, some like Hello Kitty tattoos, and all this stuff that's essentially garbage.
okay? But you have to spend money on these garbage things because it's just become a thing. When I was a kid, you just show up to the party, you ate, you got candy, you hit the piñata, and then you're on your way home.
Checked
and it
out.
Was good.
Sure.
And it was good times.
Yeah.
I don't know when this got started. But it's just insane to me. I don't know.
That's been going on for a while.
Why
it is insane?
Why?
I don't know. I don't know why kids leaving the party where you gave them candy and pizza and everything else. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they need a gift.
So
like you had fun at our party. You ate.
Right.
You played. All good.
See, it's party socialism. That's what it is. It's party socialism where one kid has all the party. That's the 1% kid. And then, but now we're not happy with your child being the center of attention. So now we have to trickle down that attention. It's trickle down socialism economics. Mm. And it, I don't even know if that makes sense.
And then
it goes out
to
the younger kids.
Freaking Bernie Sanders must be blamed somehow.
Son of a bitch.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
So what happens if you don't, though? What happens if you get up at the end of the party and you say, hey, I'm so glad you guys were able to come, and I'm so glad you guys had a nice time. Zoe, we'll see you at school tomorrow. Bye-bye.
So I don't know where my wife got this idea. So we on top of the gift bags, we took a little cute picture of Zoe, and we made, like, little miniature thank you for coming to our party little pictures, right?
All right.
So what had happened was, and if you guys can afford to get some sort of costume character, if your daughter loves a princess or whatever, I know not everybody could afford it, but I strongly suggest it because, man, as a parent, it gives you 2 hours of just a breather. It's awesome.
And those kids are hanging off that character.
Exactly, right? Exactly. You know? So it's about $350, and they also bring the goodie bags. Up to 20 kids.
I didn't know that.
Neither did I until
so
the
Hello
day of.
Kitty brought the bags that you gave as parting gifts?
Well, the one thing that Hello Kitty didn't bring that we got promised were the goodie bags.
Oh. You got ripped off by Hello Kitty.
So at the end of the day, not all the kids. But
was it a panic buy?
No. We were already halfway into the party,
so
dude.
No way to know.
So what happened was they forgot the bags, so they just started handing out all the little toys and stuff in the kids' hands, right? But no official gift bag.
Right.
So there's one kid.
You disgust me.
Right?
That's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed to know you.
Who's walking out? He's like, where's my gift bag?
Oh.
And I'm all like, beat it, kid. I don't know what you're talking about.
That kid gets thrown to a wood chipper.
Yeah, right?
All right, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Mike in Los Angeles. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. This is an issue close to my heart. I have two boys, 4 and 2 years old, and they have parties. And I told my wife she is not allowed to buy junky Chinese 9-cent toys to put in the goodie bags because when I get them and we get them home, we just throw them away because it's crap.
Okay, yeah.
Also, second part, the goodie bag is... The parting is to get the kids to leave. Is to get them. It's like a breakup. It's a sense of closure. It's like getting your hoodie back.
Here's your goodie bag. Get the hell out.
Really?
Beat it, kid.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's the sign.
So
it's
you're
over.
Bribing
Bye.
Them to go home.
100%.
Huh. I like having parties and I have people over, so I never tell them to get out. You know, I think the longer the party goes, I'm good with it. So I'm very different than Mike.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like
I'm
Mike's
team,
plan better.
I'm team Mike here.
Yeah.
How do we not see Gavin Rosdale for 5 years and then see him 2 days in a row?
That's
like,
odd.
This is kind of crazy. Hey,
you can't
I'm
get
crying.
Rid of me. You can't get rid
I know.
Of me. I'm like a Scottish drunk. You've got to kill me.
Seems extreme, but all right.
I'm extreme.
Somebody get a stake to drive through his heart, if that's what it takes. How are you, sir?
I'm great. I'm really good, thanks. How are you
Your
doing?
Performance yesterday at that Captain Marvel event was fantastic. And I don't – I noticed this about a lot of performers who have been around a long time, and you've been doing this a while now. The enthusiasm of you on stage playing your songs is the same as it was 10 years ago, is the same as it was 20 years ago.
Thank you. I love it.
Same as it was 50 years ago.
Same
50
as it is
years ago.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Kevin, that was so mean. It's so early.
Sorry. I just
After all that driving and all that getting here.
I'm sorry.
I love you too.
About that? What about that, Gavin? Because, I mean, look, you know, we get up every day and come in and do the show. We do the best we can, and we hope to entertain our audience. But, you know, some days it's harder than others. Is it the same for you? Are there times where you're just like, I cannot. Not strap on this guitar.
I
and go
have
out there and
a really,
sing
really,
again.
Really simple philosophy about that, which
yes, please.
Super basic, which is that if you can't play a show like it's the last show you're ever going to play, you shouldn't play that show. So it's real simple.
And so do you not Have you ever not played a show because
I always play the best I can. Right. Obviously, my quality, you know, can dip in and out like anyone, like anything. But the intent is always the same, and the enjoyment is always the same. And it's exciting for me. For K-Rock, obviously, the history with me with this station has began my career. So any chance I get to work with K-Rock is a great thing.
I enjoyed the when you stopped all of the music and just did it a cappella. I thought that was amazing and ballsy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just your voice, and it sounded great.
That's right. Thank you.
That was that verse of Come Together, right?
Of I think it was Glycerin, where I just stopped
completely. Yeah.
And I was sandwiched between two amazing pictures of Captain Marvel, so I felt very safe and like the greatest Oreo cookie in the world.
It wasn't a huge stage.
It was not a huge stage, but it was a fun stage.
Yeah.
You know, it was a stage built for radio.
Okay.
Did you?
I like that.
Did you get a chance to see the movie last night?
I did. It was
early
fun.
Review from Gavin Rossdale. Here we go.
Well, I thought it was a lot of fun, and it really ramped up and got going. And I think Brie Larson is a really great movie star, and Samuel Jackson, just you can just watch him forever, right?
Watch
him. Just he's just so great.
I've seen him in 100 things. I'm excited to see him every time.
I love it when he gets mad. Like he's a great mad actor. Like Harrison Ford is a great worried actor.
Right.
Harrison Ford's always worried. Samuel Jackson's always best when he's angry.
Stay after the credits, by the way. This is very important for this movie. Stay after the credits. Did you?
But I think we all know that by now with Marvel films in particular.
I needed to feel my body again. It was a little cold for me in there.
It was one degree, if that's what you're talking about.
So I went in search of a blanket and a warm red wine. I found both.
So Gavin was part of the Captain Marvel event yesterday that we were very happy to be co-hosting. And you are also here today because just announced is a very special tour. I mean, Bush has been on and off the road over the last 25 years, but you're doing something special this summer, including August 6th at the Greek. What's going on?
I mean, first off, the Greek, I don't even have that many milestones, the things I think about, but having lived in Los Feliz when I first moved to LA, and I could hear the bands, I could walk to the Greek. I saw David Bowie at the Greek,
amazing.
And I walked there. And it was a little further than I wanted to, but it was a romantic idea, and I did like the idea.
Kind of regret it on the way. From your house to the Greek? Because I'm thinking that's like 4 miles.
No, it wasn't that bad. I was on Aberdeen, so it was Vermont. But it's just like, everywhere in America. You know, I'm from this small little island off of Europe called England. And you can actually walk a block or two, and it doesn't really matter. You walk a block here, and you're just like, that, damn, I drive that every day. No wonder the planet's going up. We're just,
it's an amazing idea on the way there, but back and always
actually back was downhill, so that was actually easy.
Okay.
It was the way there I had the regrets, but that's okay. So to be playing there is incredible. That's an incredible thing for me. I'm just blown, my mind is blown. But yeah, we have this big tour with Live and in Canada, I think, with Our Lady Peace. But it's a really fun thing to be doing there with Live Nation. You know, we're partnering with them, and they're centering a lot around 16 Stone because it's a 5 years since it came out, but I like to obviously play those songs and keep people happy. But for me, it's a really progressive thing. Always, we're making a new record now. You know, I would like to come back and play that record if I'm allowed. That's what's exciting.
Says the guy who has no say.
Yeah, that makes two of us.
You've been fairly prolific since you got the band back together.
Yeah,
in 2010, you guys have made a bunch of records.
Yes.
So you still got things to say. 25 years since 16 Stone, though. I wanted to get into that for just a little bit because were you an overnight success story in some ways, or did you put years in before we heard of you in America?
Oh, my God. Of course, there's years that go into it because I was so terrible when I began. And so I had to kind of climb that slow mountain up to being average. So, of course, there's loads of years of it. I remember the first time I was on stage, this small pub in Herne Hill.
How many people?
Half Moon. I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred, because, maybe 80, something like that. But they were very big people. They were very big people.
And they were just there for the beer anyway.
They didn't know we were playing. And I do remember standing on stage. This is the very first show I ever did. And I was just trying to avoid, job, school, regular stuff. I was just trying to avoid everything in my life. And being on stage, I was like thinking,
this is the worst idea I ever had. What am I doing here? I'm an idiot. So I found my way through that, and yeah, it's an incredible journey we've been on. I don't know what to tell you. You know, incredible.
Yeah,
loving it. Still loving it.
Well, we're going to take a break and come back more with Gavin Rossdale in a moment. We'll tell you more about the tour. But do you remember, was there ever a moment where the light bulb went off over your head and you thought, music, that's my way out?
Yes, because what happened is that I found a way. What I was a really terrible singer. But what I was better at was words, and I found that good.
Writing lyrics?
Lyrics was a really good solution to kind of tension. Like if you have a fizzy can of Coke, you know, lyrics was the idea of opening it so it could like release. And so I think my words were better than my voice for a while, and try to catch up with that. So that's when I first that. And I thought you were going to ask me when the penny dropped about that, like, this life was for me. Mm-hmm. It was when we first got a record, you know. And I, you know, excuse me, I'm from London, so I hadn't really heard of K Rock.
Sure.
And when Kevin and K Rock and the whole, all of you guys gave us that support, and we began and it took off around the country. The first show we played was CBGB's in New York.
Is that right?
It was the first show. It was the first show I'd ever played where anybody had heard a record of ours. And so I remember doing the sound check, and it's a very iconic club, you know, for people who don't know it. It's like all the, you know, the New York scene, Ramones.
Yeah, classic.
I mean,
yeah.
Every single band ever. Of
Blondie, Talking Heads, right?
Played there. And is when I couldn't get in, when we went out, and then I couldn't get in through the people to the club, to the back of the club. It just was so packed with like just the who I thought were the coolest people in the world. So that was
did you have to sing outside?
Incredible moment. I just take my time coming through. You know, I take my time coming through.
I
and
love
sharing
that.
The bathroom with the public. It wasn't like even a private. It was like some corner you change and you say, "Excuse me, I'm gonna have a panic pee before I go on stage." You know? Super English.
You could have named the band Panic Pee. That would have been cool.
No, we couldn't.
I love that story, Gavin. And I know we have to take a break, but I love that story because most people who start a band, they think, I'm doing this because I love it, A, and B, because I don't want to be a delivery van driver. So it's just, if I can just make enough money to make the rent, it'll be worth it and I'll be happy. The last thing on your mind when you're making that first record is, we're going to conquer America.
Yeah, that's the last thing. Because it was
it's not even in the realm of possibility.
The real truth about it is that the context is that was in the middle of Britpop. So me doing a band that was much more, had a sort of much more rock sound, much more what we'd call, I don't know what this word means, I don't ever say it anymore, the G word, grunge, I don't know what
right.
I mean, right? But that's what was inspiring to me. And so in a way, it was incredible commercial suicide. It was like, had nothing to do with being successful. It's the opposite, because all the bands I loved, like the Pixies, Throwing Muses, Breeders, Jesus Lizard, all those kind of underground bands, they all just played at a certain level. So it was only with the benefit of the support of radio and then with MTV that my life changed, you know, irreversibly.
He is an unlikely success story. Gavin Rossdale and his band Bush.
unusually cruel.
But correct. According to Gavin's own words, it's the last thing we thought would work. August 6th at the Greek, August 10th at the PAC Amp in Costa Mesa. Tickets are going on sale next Friday, March 15th at 10 a.m. through Live Nation. It's Bush and Live Together, both celebrating the 25th anniversaries of their first albums. We'll take a quick break. More with Gavin when we return after this on K-Rock. Our friend Gavin Rossdale in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I made a note on my social media, Gavin, yesterday that you were going to be joining us and asked if anyone had any questions. Let me run a couple by you real fast. Luciana says, Gavin will always be my favorite musician. He said the new album was going to be heavier. I wonder how much of their unique style will change. Is it industrial or something else? I love that metal industrial sound. Please say hi for me.
Well, hey, Luciana, that's amazing. The record I made is, we've made, we're making, nearly finishing, is super heavy. And but because of my voice is on it, it really has a very, it sounds like us. And,
it's bushy.
It's very bushy. It's very bushy. And a very healthy bushy and fun and wide and deep like the ocean. So that's what, yeah, I've been playing live and going out there. It just naturally progressed to a certain sound that I wanted to make, and I'm really, really, really proud of it. And it's
I love that you say it's heavy, because it's Chris, your guitar player, right?
Mm-hmm. is amazing. Yeah, and you can tell that he can do more than he's asked to do some days.
I hope he's not listening, but thank you for that.
No, I'm just saying you can tell he is a great guitar player and will do whatever your vision is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, for me, from writing songs, you know, you just go into a detuned state, and that just creates a different sound. So I'm not a screamer, and I can't do the barking, but outside of that, it's pretty heavy.
When does that come out?
Well, that's not really so much my lane, but I think the summer, my dream, obviously, on this tour, we will be playing a lot of 16 Stone, as it is, as we always.
He said ship.
I know, ship. But I dropped.
As I said, ship. As I said it, I was wondering myself, did I say ship?
You
I
did.
I did say
yes.
Ship.
With a...
But it,
for
but,
the benefit of the person who has their finger on the dump
button,
oh,
I hit the dump button,
ship.
Bean.
Oh, you did?
I did because ship. I didn't know he said ship.
So it was you because you said S-H-I, uh-huh. And then you know you took off the you took
I
my,
mean, I got to do what I got to do.
You took my P away.
I did. Oddly, I took your P away.
That is so awkward. For 25 years we've known each other. It's okay.
So you were saying you'll be playing some 16 Stone. You'll also be playing
the new
some
song,
of the
hopefully
new
the
music
new
too?
New single. You know, so my dream, and what I say to my Peter Katz is my amazing manager, is I keep begging him that will we have a new song as well? Because I think that it's, you know, it's essential for me as an artist to really pay homage to all those songs that got me here. I don't like it when people play obscure set lists. It really drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So you play the songs that people want to hear and they have their own memories too. They're so soundtrack. But I think it's also essential for me as an artist to continue to move forward and to make things and be inspired by music as I am. I mean,
You're not an oldies act.
Right. So therefore, I've got to keep incorporating stuff so that you give predominantly things people know and then a new song. And
you're not alone in that at all because most bands now put out a new song and then right. And then tour. It's like,
yeah, it's part of it, you know. Yeah. And there's nothing beats seeing a band you love and the song that you know so well. But there's a nice thing of being taken on a journey as well, just not like loads and loads of times, you know.
Right. Delia writes in capital letters, I worry about you. We've lost so many on the alternative scene to drugs and suicide. Of course, reference to everybody from Chris Cornell to Chester Bennington to Avicii. I mean, it has been a terrible year for K-Rock artists for the past couple
Keith
years.
Keith Flint, just this week, right.
Are you okay? How do you manage to stay so strong and bouncy? You inspire me in pretty much every way possible. Your music and your films. You don't know what I would do without your strength. Well, that's a very nice compliment from Delia.
Beautiful.
But you've got the same struggles that everybody else does, and you're in a business that puts a lot of demands on you. How do you keep everything straight?
I just real simple kind of... I just love what I do so much. You know, I love my children. I love my job. And, you know, I'm going to live forever. So it's really simple.
That's good to hear.
There's no way around it. I mean, you know with Chester and with Chris, you know, it's an incredible opportunity to highlight mental health issues.
Yeah.
Because there's a far too many suicides every single day. And that just highlights that tragedy. I don't have that. Like, I love life. I'm blessed with most beautiful children, and I wouldn't, you know...
Happy birthday, Apollo.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, you know, there's no way I could leave them. And the most tragic sight I think I've ever seen, I cannot unsee, was being at Chris Cornell's funeral, who I did love and respect on every single level, was seeing his son, Chris, age 12 years old, and I have a boy at Kingston who's 12, going to be 13, saw him standing after the service where Chester had sung Hallelujah at the graveside. And when I saw him standing there sort of, you know, protecting and just not knowing what to do as a 12-year-old boy, I mean, and this just goes back to what I was saying about, you know, the help that people need, the support that people need, and the whole mental health issues that this highlights. That was just an image that I will never, ever be able to unsee. And so I'm so sorry for this family. People ask me all the time about, you know, what I think about music and the state of, you know, people that commit suicide. And I always go to the families. I always go to the real life, the every single day. And the pain that, you know, with Vicky Cornell and with the children. That's what I think about first and foremost. And so, Delia, that's a really beautiful thing you've said to me. I promise you. It's like, I look at like being in this music world as being like in a dance competition. I just don't want no one to tap me on my back.
That is very inspiring, Gavin. Can I call you if I'm feeling a little down?
Always.
Always. I appreciate that. All right. In honor of the 16 Stone 25th anniversary tour, and again, dates just announced, August 6th at the Greek, August 10th at the Pacific Amphitheater in Costa Mesa. Tickets going on sale next Friday, March 15th at 10 through Live Nation. And this is a double bill with the band Live, by the way, who we also love here at K-Rock. We thought this might be fun in our remaining couple of minutes, Gavin.
Uh-oh.
To let you play a little game that we... Uh-oh. Yes.
I'm going to fail. This is how I feel a failure coming.
This
on.
Is how we give away tickets. It's one of the games that we play to give away tickets.
Is it multiple choice?
It's not. What we're going to do is we're going to play a song of yours backwards.
Oh, okay.
And see if you can identify it.
Okay.
Because sometimes that's really difficult.
Sometimes.
I mean, I know you wrote it. Let's see how you do.
Sometimes I wonder if people think I'm the devil, so I should know better. But so let's see. All right. Try me on.
Here's the first one.
That's amazing. Can I have more time?
Nope.
Look, this is all we give the listeners when we give away tickets with this game. What song, what Bush song is that, Gavin?
Does this mean I can't play the Greek?
No. You're good.
If I screw this up, am I not going to... Zen.
Everything's Zen, yeah.
But,
all right.
You know, yeah, okay. Nope. I knew from
well
the
done.
Sun. Okay. All thank right. you. Thank you.
Oh. Next one. Mm-hmm. There you go. I mean, you sound like the devil.
It sounds better. Is that weird?
I don't think that's true.
I heard I buried Paul in there. Is that just me saying that? Or
what song was that?
That was really difficult. I knew it was Zen because I could hear the guitar sound. Mm-hmm. So I just knew it for the guitar tone, to be honest. Not giving my David Blaine-esque tricks away. more like Darren Blaine. But
what was that one?
Oh, my gosh. I just literally, I don't know. I don't
can
know. I
right, can you down. Name any other Bush song?
Oh, can I? Yeah, most of them.
By the way, he just said Come Down.
I said Come Down. 'Cause I wanna come back down. Oh.
Was that a guess?
No.
Okay.
You knew all right, did you get that one
no,
right?
I didn't know the you whole did. Time. I wasn't sure. I got it right.
All right, he's two for two. Let's do one more.
Oh, come on. Right, well, I can't get 100%.
Oh, I hope someone's alarm just went off
that
to
is,
that.
Me too.
That is definitely better. That is definitely better. Was that Little Things?
It was. You're good at this game. That's pretty good.
I can go backwards. I can reverse backwards. I can park. I'm from London. I can park in small spaces.
Gavin, we will see you at the Greek.
That's the best thing I ever heard. Bean, say to me,
thank
see you the Greek.
So much for stopping by and for your continued patronage of the world-famous K-Rock over the past 25 years.
Course.
I hope there's 25 more, my friend.